your home, including earth-friendly paints, plaster flooring, countertops, as well as accessories and fine local eco-groovy holiday gift items. Please drop by. Tell them you heard about us on KRXA Tomorrow Matters. Stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News. Have a great day.
There's no music coming out.
I know. I don't know what's happened to my music. La, 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 la.
So just keep talking.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. The government will require 40% better fuel economy to the fleet average of 35 miles per gallon by 2022. New energy bill, Larry Dominique at Nissan says can do.
We're going to be seeing more power and more fuel economy on the same platforms.
It's a wide-ranging energy bill passed by Congress today. CBS's John Harchi is in Washington.
Under this bill, the new vehicles we drive will become increasingly more fuel efficient over the next decade or so. 40% better average fuel economy will be required by 2020. We'll likely see more flex fuel vehicles that use a high percentage of ethanol and more hybrids, also more diesels. In addition to vehicles, the bill sets standards for things we use in the home, like light bulbs. Say goodbye to the old incandescent bulb.
There's also a requirement to increase the production of ethanol by at least 600%. That should be a major boost to American agriculture. Federal Reserve has endorsed new rules designed to reform the mortgage lending business. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
The plan would force lenders to have proof of the borrower's income before making a loan. They would have to make sure borrowers have money set aside for taxes and insurance, and there would be rules limiting penalties on borrowers who pay off their loans early.
New home construction went down last month. Single-family home starts off 5.5%, which David Siders at the National Association of Home Builders says makes some big ripples in the economy.
The impact on overall economic growth and on the job market is pretty serious, you know. So we're talking about the contraction in housing production taking about a full percentage point off of overall GDP growth.
It's the lowest rate for single-family homes in 16 years. Experts are saying expect recovery in the second half of the new year. Lots of red and blue and white blinking lights this time of year are more than ho-ho. Ho-ho. Police are cracking down on drunk driving, saying this month's the worst of the year for traffic deaths. The FCC sure didn't listen to the people when it decided to let the media giants get bigger. That from Dr. Joshua Silver at Free Press, who says the new rule allowing the huge media conglomerates to add newspapers to the radio and TV family are not good for you.
The FCC has held public hearings across the country to ask for input, and some 99% of the public is opposed to media getting bigger in America. The only people who support this rule change are the big media companies themselves.
At the FCC, Commissioner Kevin Martin says allowing expansion is important to save the print media.
That is actually something that's critical if we want to support and preserve the function of local news gathering that newspapers provide.
A 14-year-old girl from Illinois is getting some mighty special treatment on one of the Navy's premier aircraft carriers, the USS Ronald Reagan. Laura Montero was on a cruise ship to Mexico, hundreds of miles from the carrier, when she suffered a ruptured appendix. The Navy sent a helicopter. Navy doctors did the surgery. She's going to be just fine. On Wall Street, the Dow up 65 points. NASDAQ gained 21 today. The oil prices, $90.49 a barrel, down 14 cents. This is CBS News.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So the clock is ticking, but you can't nail down a gift idea? I can fix that. Because the entire stock of hand tools, power tools, and tool storage is on sale at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. And remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. Not to hammer home a point, but a tool sale this good only happens at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. So don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
May I help you?
Greetings. I had my eye on this nice big Odyssey, and this Civic sure is a looker. Oh, and the Accord, it's all new, isn't it?
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
Oh, what the heck? I'll take all of them.
You want every Honda in our showroom?
Do you think I can fit them in this large red bag?
All right, is this a joke? Am I on a hidden camera or something?
Attention, there's a reindeer parked outside with its nose light on.
I'll be right back.
Happy Honda Days ends January 2nd.
Israel goes after some Palestinian bomb and rocket makers.
Israeli aircraft blasted Islamic Jihad militants in their cars and coming out of mosques in Gaza. A top commander of rocket squads and a master rocket maker were among the dead. Israeli spokesman Mark Regev.
They will pay a price if there is continued missile attacks on the Israeli civilian population.
Islamic Jihad promised revenge and vowed to renew suicide bombings in Israeli cities. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
There have been signs at the city limits of Granttown, West Virginia, proudly proclaiming it the hometown of West Virginia University football coach Rich Rodriguez. But he's leaving to take the head coaching job at Michigan. So Granttown's mayor ordered the proud coach signs taken down quickly. Otherwise, he says, upset fans might throw eggs at him, set fire to him, and whatnot. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
It's one small step for man.
We interrupt this report for an important news bulletin. You can now purchase original Dell ink and toner at Staples. Now, back to that other thing.
Finally, some news to get excited about. Staples is the only store to carry every original Dell ink cartridge, plus a wide selection of Dell computers, printers, monitors, and toner, too. Or visit us at staples.com for the same great selection. Staples, that was easy.
Can I help you guys?
Yeah. We're having a tough time deciding between these Honda trucks.
Okay.
What do you recommend that has lots of room and can handle the North Pole?
Well, the Pilot is available with four-wheel drive and has seating for eight.
Sounds perfect.
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
All right, then. We'll take the Pilot.
Wonderful. Will you gentlemen be joint owners?
Oh, no. It's a gift for the big guy.
Yeah, we make wonderful toys, but our cars stink.
I see.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. It's great to have you listening. Up and down the left coast, across the nation on the internet. We call it Radio Somewhere. Oh, yeah, my voice is bouncing off a satellite. Do you like the bounce? And can you control the spin, eh? This is a live radio broadcast. You're invited to call in and join the conversation toll-free, 888-5, Peter B. We pay for that call, 888-573-8372. This program will be repeated during the period between Christmas and New Year's, and in that case, don't call in because I'm not here then, okay? I hope that doesn't confuse you too much. My personal email is peter@peterbcollins.com. And so far, I have not received the requisite 10 emails demanding that I stop playing this ditty.
Bomb, 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 bomberan.
Bomb, 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 bomberan.
We've gotten three. And they really hate it. Yes, just a couple of weeks ago, we were surprised by the new national intelligence estimate regarding Iran and about face, particularly on the nuclear weapons development program there. This hour, we get two views. One from Colonel Sam Gardner. He'll join us later this hour. Sam served in the United States Air Force and has been a source for us on the Bush administration's intentions toward Iran, the movements of aircraft carrier groups and others that gave us signals that this might be in the offing. And Colonel Gardner will join us in less than half an hour. Up first, Matthew Rothschild. He's editor of the Progressive magazine. They're on the web at progressive.org. He's also author of a powerful book that is incomplete, but he published it anyway. It's called You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And I say it's incomplete because every day new stories are generated. And at a certain point, Matt had to just say, okay, we're going to press. Matt, welcome to our program today.
Hey, Peter B., thanks for having me on again.
Well, I was struck by a piece that you wrote that was posted on the 4th of December, shortly after the NIE on Iran was released. And let me just quote a couple of lines here. Hold on a second here. You opened it. The risk of Bush attacking Iran is not yet over. When the NIE came out earlier this week, a lot of people jumped to the conclusion that Cheney and the hardliners have lost, and so we can all breathe a sigh of relief. Well, I'm not exhaling at the moment, because I still believe Bush and Cheney are going to do the deed. And, Matt, I think this kind of skepticism is important, because when I first heard this announcement, I said, well, okay, where's the trick here? Where's the catch? When is the other shoe going to drop? Because we know how determined Cheney in particular has been to confront Iran militarily, and we know that despite this NIE that was working its way through the bowels, as Condi Rice likes to call it, of the intelligence operation, that it finally... Gosh, I started that metaphor, and I don't want to continue. It finally produced a turd, and, you know, we're supposed to take it at face value. But it's very hard to do with this administration, and I suspect there's a trick here. It seems you do, too.
Yeah, I sure do, Peter B., because, you know, I think this question of Iran getting a nuclear weapon was always a pretext anyway, and they're just going to find a different pretext to go do what they always wanted to do, which is to attack Iran. The pretext was Iran's getting a nuclear weapon, but the intelligence agencies aren't on board for this ride as they were for the Iraq ride, so they're going to find something else, and already they're, you know, banging the drums on Iran. I mean, the very week that this NIE thing came out, you know, there was Defense Secretary Gates, who's supposed to be the person most against an attack on Iran, who said Iran's keeping its options open and could restart its nuclear weapons program at any time. I would add, he said, and this is unbelievable, if it has not done so already. He knows damn well that it hasn't done so already, but he's just throwing that out there to say, well, you know, Iran is untrustworthy, and we might as well, you know, keep our eyes on it and keep going after it. Cheney the same week said Iran is still a very serious concern. And the reason I think it's they're using a different pretext is they're going to say forget about the nuclear weapons thing for now.
Mm-hmm.
Iran is an enemy of the United States, and it's attacking the United States in Iraq. And it can just thank Joe Lieberman and Hillary Clinton for that, because they signed on to that resolution that Lieberman co-sponsored.
With Kyle. Mm-hmm.
That said, you know, everyone focused on the Revolutionary Guards being a terrorist organization. To me, that wasn't the big headline. The big headline should have been that in that same resolution, that resolution calls Iran basically an enemy of the United States, because it says Iran is waging a proxy war. Those are the exact words, waging a proxy war against the United States in Iraq. So all Bush and Cheney need to do is say, look, Congress recognizes that Iran is attacking us in Iraq, and maybe, you know, Bush and Cheney are going to set up a little trap there for the Iranians, or go into Iran like Nixon went into Laos or Cambodia, and mm-hmm. then if Iran comes back and retaliates, then, you know, they have the little war that they've always wanted.
And Matt Rothschild, our idiot president, tried to claim that he was only briefed on this NIE about a week before it was shared with us, the public. And, of course, that can't be true. The briefers have, you know, contradicted him on that, to be specific. But also, we noticed the shift in his rhetoric when he started talking about World War III back in October. He changed the terminology to really say that Iran was subject to attack if they developed the knowledge of how to build a nuclear weapon. And,
of course that's not against, you know, the treaties, non-proliferation treaties that Iran has signed, having the knowledge. And furthermore, how do you define whether they have the knowledge or not to use a nuclear weapon? And so, you know, that lowers the bar considerably, and Bush and Cheney can say, well, now our intelligence says they do have the knowledge. They have two scientists who know how to get the centrifuges working to, you know, refine and enrich the uranium so they can get their bomb going. I mean, that's, you know, is that really what a threat is? I mean, here we have 10,000 nuclear weapons. Iran doesn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to be able to make one until 2015, according to the intelligence agencies of the U.S. government. And maybe a couple Iranian scientists have the knowledge of how to make a weapon. That means the United States has a green light to go bomb them?
Yeah.
I mean, that is really lowering the bar dramatically.
So then the lingo changes to that Iran must come clean. Now, we've gone public with intelligence, which we are led to believe is based on defecting senior military officers, possibly generals, from the Iranian military, and that they shared emails or other communication that showed how angry military brass in Iran were that this weapons program was suspended way back in 2003. So with that in mind, how exactly is Iran supposed to come clean?
Iran has, by the estimates of the U.S. intelligence agencies, ceased its nuclear weapons program, and now they're just supposed to say, we ceased it on this day, and we're never going to restart it, and therefore leave us alone. I mean, Bush keeps and Cheney keeps, making it easier and easier for the U.S. to justify this attack on Iran, which I still think is going to happen before Bush and Cheney leave office.
I hope you're wrong.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I hope you're wrong, but I'm glad you're speaking up about this because I think that people need to remain vigilant and wary because, once again, the Democratic Congress doesn't seem to be willing to throw up roadblocks in the form of legislation that would require a specific authorization from Congress to attack Iran.
Yeah, and actually some Democrats tried to do that in the spring of this year. And the Democratic leadership pulled that from the table.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, we're not going to have a vote on that. And I think Cheney seized on that to say, look, we are not restrained by Congress here if we want to go attack Iran.
And do you see an AIPAC influence in the removal of that from the supplemental that actually failed?
Yeah, those were the reports I saw in the media that the Israeli lobby pressured legislators, actually had a big lobbying blitz when this thing was on the floor of the Senate and told people, look it, don't go for this resolution that's going to prevent Bush and Cheney from attacking Iran because Iran's an enemy of Israel and we want to be able to have Bush and Cheney do this for us. And so there you had just a tremendous meddling by the supporters of whatever policy the Israeli government is pursuing, meddling in what our constitutional form of government is, which is Congress has the right to declare war. And here Congress is trying to assert that right by reminding the president and the vice president that, they have the right to declare war, not Bush and Cheney. And yet the lobbyists for the Israeli government said to its, Democratic allies in Washington, no, don't sign on to this preemptive blockage of an illegal war.
Mm-hmm.
It's just shocking, really.
Yeah. Mohammed joins us from Sacramento. Mohammed, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Matthew Rothschild.
Hello, how's it going?
Doing okay. How are you today?
Not bad.
Good.
2 years ago, Zalman Khalil Zada, who was the ambassador to Iraq, he said that he received authorization from Condoleezza Rice to go to Tehran and negotiate with the Iranians about Iraq. And there was speculation in the Arab media at the time that the United States tried to get Iran sent troops to Iraq. And even one general here called Mark Odom make a statement to that effect.
Okay.
And for the last 2 years, I said all these threats about attacking Iran is just a device to pressure the Iranian to agree to a partnership about Iraq. And it's not really a real threat, it's just to threaten them so they can agree. And they have suspicions that is exactly what they accomplished. They reached some type of agreement with Iran about Iraq.
Now, Mohammed, it's a little hard to understand you. What exactly are you saying about the connection between Iran and Iraq?
That United States' interest was essentially to get Iran to send troops to Iraq. And all these threats were essentially a pressure to put pressure on the Iranian to agree to such type of partnership.
Okay, so you believe that we drew Iran into Iraq so that we could blame them for the IEDs and these shaped devices and try to basically turn back on them and put Iran on the defensive and give us a pretext to attack them?
No. United States tried to get Iran to send troops to Iraq to be a barter in the Iraqi enterprise.
Right. Khalilzad had some meetings, but I don't believe they actually went anywhere.
No, he didn't go himself. I think this meeting happened after he left.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is that United States' interest in Iran is not really to attack Iran, but to get Iran to cooperate with it in Iraq and maybe also the Gulf.
Mm-hmm.
And all these threats about nuclear weapons and the like were just a device to get British and the Iranian to agree to such a type of partnership.
Okay. Mohammed,
I'm sorry if you are not able to understand.
No, but I appreciate your call, and I really enjoy your perspective. So keep calling, and I'll keep listening carefully, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll take a break and return with Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive. Their website is progressive.org, knowtheanddontdo.com, or you're buying car insurance, progressive.org. And Matt's newest book is You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. Coming up, more on The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 24 minutes into the hour. Matthew Rothschild is with us from the Progressive Magazine. Their website, again, progressive.org. And his newest book is You Have No Rights, Stories of America in an Age of Repression. And if you go to progressive.org, there is McCarthyism Watch, which essentially is the zone where Matthew picks up these stories that formed the book. And the latest one is about man who flies flag upside down, gets a brick through his truck window, and a rock through his daughter's bedroom window. Ah, America is just in a wonderful place these days. We go to Ken in Sacramento. Ken, welcome. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
Well, I have a question for your guest, and it has to do with the Stephen Franklin and Larry Rosen case. They were actually convicted for espionage and treason.
Mm-hmm. Those are the AIPAC guys.
Uh-huh. Right, these are the AIPAC guys. Okay, so the Israeli lobby is going to the Democrats and is putting pressure on them, but are any of the Democrats aware of these two individuals? Is this affecting any of their thinking? Because it seems like there's another country running our foreign diplomatic services.
Well, it's a heavy influence. You got a good point there, Ken. What do you think, Matt?
Well, it's amazing. I mean, for both political parties, I mean, you have Dick Cheney, who goes to AIPAC's annual convention and praises this organization, even though two of its officials have been convicted of treason.
It's madness. My in-laws actually are members of AIPAC, and they're Christian Zionists. And the religious aspect that's tied into the AIPAC and Christian Zionist movement is out of control. It's the convergence of the most wacky line of thinking I've ever come across. And why are the Democrats standing up to this?
Oh, Ken, what do you object to? Combining Armageddon with the Middle East as a, you know, biblical theme park?
I reject it because I have an obligation to my two daughters under the age of 5 to give them a functioning democracy and functioning future. And these people are trying to create a situation in which the mountain of corpses is high enough for Christ to descend off the clouds and take over. This is madness.
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate your call and share your view. Matthew.
Let me just add one quick thing there,
sure.
Peter B., because it is just a crazy alliance between the neocons and the Christian Zionists for this reason alone. The Christian Zionists want Armageddon, and right before Armageddon, all the Jews in the world face a very tricky dilemma. Either they have to convert to Christianity or they get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so why the neocons, like Elliot Abrams, want that to happen is just beyond me.
Yeah. Want to jump to another topic. On the website, you're calling for the resignation of Majority Leader Senator Harry Reid. And I concur. I was disappointed that he was ever elected leader. I think Dick Durbin, his number two, would be much more effective. But it's really just culminating one cave-in after another. And we understand the narrow majority that he has in the Senate, but he has prerogatives, and he did not have to bring the bad FISA reform bill to the floor. He did pull it after the Dodd filibuster attempt, but this really is you know, undemocratic, and I'm talking about the capital D Democratic.
Yeah, he's just useless as a majority leader, and the sooner the Democrats realize that and face it and tell him to step down, the better, because, you know, he collapses. He collapses whenever Bush, you know, essentially says collapse.
I mean,
if it, you know, as soon as Bush announced after the election in 2006 that he wanted the surge, what was Harry Reid's response? I'm in favor of the surge.
Mm-hmm.
And here on this FISA bill, he brought to the floor of the Senate the intelligence bill, not the Justice Committee bill, because Judiciary Committee bill, and the Intelligence Committee bill was the giveaway to the telecom companies.
Amnesty.
You know, get out of jail free card for any of the telecom companies who broke the law by invading our privacy, by giving our private information over to the NSA.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that has nothing to do with our security. It's a question as to whether the private telephone companies in this country can act like criminals and get away with it.
Yeah.
And there was Harry Reid saying, yeah, let's vote on this rather than the judiciary bill, which was not going to immunize the telephone company.
And it matched the stronger version coming out of the House.
Exactly. And so, you know, Harry Reid was doing Bush's work.
Yeah.
And that's not what the majority leader of the Democratic Party is supposed to do.
And that's just one example. We don't have time to talk about them all, but the cave-in on funding for the war in Iraq is just another embarrassment. And at some point, Reid and Pelosi have to learn that you cannot negotiate with these radical terrorists who are in the White House. You've got to confront them, and you've got to cut off their allowance. Matt Rothschild, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you in the new year.
Anytime, Peter B. Have a nice holiday.
Progressive.org, that's the website. And his new book, You Have No Rights. Coming up next, Sam Gardner, retired Air Force colonel. Comments on the Iran situation here on the PBC show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Radio Shack, with their mix of products, accessories, and helpful advice. Radio Shack says, you don't just buy stuff there, you do stuff. I'm Charles Osgood. For years, cheap food for Americans and feed for our livestock has been taken for granted here in the United States. But now food and energy are competing for farmland worldwide at a time when demand is high and harvests have not been that good. And in this country, grocery prices across the board are up 5% this year. That's double the normal increase. More after this for Radio Shack, bringing you the best gift card ever this holiday season. It makes gift giving more convenient for you and makes sure that whoever you give it to can have their own amazing gift. The possibilities are endless. Digital cameras can turn them into movie directors. GPS devices can help them find their way anywhere. So get to Radio Shack, buy the best gift card ever, and when these amazing things start happening, just remember, it all began at Radio Shack. Don't just buy stuff, do stuff.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Congress is about to start writing a new mandate that would double the amount of ethanol fuel made out of corn. Now, that's good if you're a farmer growing corn, but not if you're raising and feeding pigs or a farmer raising cattle for meat or dairy products. Already at the supermarket in Chicago, Chris Ramirez is feeling a pinch. Our Cynthia Bowers asked him,
what do you think when you see the cashier hit that total button?
Oh, shocked. Everything just keeps going up, and it seems like the paychecks are staying the same.
Ramirez is feeling what a lot of people now are across the country and elsewhere around the world.
He'll still bring home the bacon, but it'll cost 22 cents more per pound than it did last year, up to $3.66. White bread is up 10 cents to $1.24. Cheddar cheese up 48 cents to $4.47 a pound. Eggs are up 51 cents a dozen. But it is the price of milk that is really getting hard to swallow, up 90 cents over this time last year.
The competition for farmland between food and fuel is a factor in this, but not the only one. Why should this be?
Why? Because the grains it takes to feed animals and make many foods, corn, soybeans, wheat, and rice, have all recently hit record highs. High demand and poor harvest are to blame for dangerously low supplies worldwide.
And don't expect relief anytime soon, says Bowers.
No one knows how high groceries will go, but it is a safe bet next year's prices will make today's look like a bargain.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Christmaka, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes after the hour. Is the Persian Gulf still a danger zone? U.S. aircraft carrier groups still deployed there. Sam Gardner returns to our program today, retired from the United States Air Force and one of our go-to guys on the situation between the U.S. and Iran. Sam Gardner, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Peter B.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Well, I'm in Sacramento.
Oh, good. Well, we're live on the radio in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City, so tell the grandkids they can listen to you on the radio.
Okay.
I take it you are on a visit to see your grandchildren?
We are, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Well, I think that's great. Well, Sam, thanks for joining us today, and thank you for your communications over the last... It's been about 2 years since we first started talking about the prospect of some sort of a military dust-up with Iran. And first of all, just for a factual check, am I correct that we still have two full carrier groups deployed in the Persian Gulf?
I think there's only one right now, Peter B.
Okay.
There may be a changeover, but you recall early last spring, we in fact had two and looked like a third on the way.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that deployment seems to have been pulled back.
Okay.
I think there's just the ones now supporting what's going on in Afghanistan and in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how recently did we stand down or scale back in the Persian Gulf? Do you know?
Well, yeah, I do, and it's fascinating to me. It was about the time that I think the president would have learned that the Iranians didn't have a nuclear weapons program.
Really?
It was about the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did the deployments change, but also the rhetoric began to change. It was a fascinating thing now in retrospect that we know about the National Intelligence Estimate. Very interesting.
The only thing that doesn't fit that, though, Sam Gardner, is that as recently as October, Bush was saying that Iran posed a threat of World War III. He talked about a nuclear war in his mangled verbiage. And Dick Cheney was on the same page in October, dispensing those kinds of threatening scenarios.
You're right, although that the general message, and you know I watch message carefully.
Yes, you
but
do.
But the general message was that it wasn't about the Iranian nuclear weapons. It was about what they were doing in Iraq. That began to take center stage over the nuclear weapons program.
Mm-hmm. And
you began to see that in about, maybe June, May.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when we had the press conferences in Iraq,
right,
about how much the Iranians were doing there.
Yes, they
still wanted to make them the bad guys, but the thing was changing.
Right. They were using the example of the EFPs, these explosively formed charges.
Exactly.
That they claimed were being manufactured in Iran. And, I always looked at that as, not simply what the eye beholds, because Iran is a regional exporter of arms. The U.S., of course, is number one in the world in exporting arms. And so it doesn't surprise me that a neighbor like Iraq that's in the middle of a civil war and a military occupation would be going to nearby sources to acquire whatever they can get to challenge the occupation and to blow up their enemies. And so I never read that as darkly as Dick Cheney does, but I do acknowledge that Iran is certainly a factor for us, and we have strengthened their regional power by taking out their biggest rival, a guy named Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, you make two very interesting points. One of them is that 5 years ago, 7 years ago, in political science circles, people always said that the reason we want Iraq to exist is to balance the power of the Iranians.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the first interesting point. The second interesting point is that we knew that the Iranians were involved in Iraq going back to the fall of 2003.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't talk about it. That's why the events of the past summer took on more importance. There was a big division between the State Department and the Department of Defense on whether or not you should talk about what the Iranians were doing inside Iraq. And that went back and forth for almost 3 years. The State Department said, and I think there was a powerful argument, which is, if you make a big deal out of it, you're going to force yourself to have to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So that there was, people never said how much Iran was involved. But they were involved from, probably 90 days after the takeover of Baghdad. The Iranians were involved in sending money in to do education programs. They were buying schools. They were training the militia. But we didn't hear about that. We didn't hear about it until it was the administration's objective to make that part of the strategic communication team.
Well, and Sam Gardner, the brilliance of Paul Bremer, is yet to escape me. People never quite mentioned that he used to work for Henry Kissinger before they made him the boots on the ground there in Baghdad. And when we look back just a couple of years now during his reign over the interim occupation, they set up the basis, the framework for the elections that were conducted along religious and ethnic lines, which, surprise, produced a Shiite-dominated government in Baghdad. And there again, you have the affinity that leaders like Maliki and not that Muqtada al-Sadr is a central part of the current government, but he, of course, is tightly aligned with Tehran. And so we have these various forces that we have failed to either force to assimilate into the government of reconciliation that's just a lot of hot air, and we have failed to recognize how we enabled and extended the influence of Iran in Iraq.
Yeah. So I think you're right. And I have an email exchange, a guy I exchange emails with almost daily, who is the former CIA station chief in the Middle East. And he continually makes the point that if you think anything about the region is simple, then you're bound to fail. And, you know, we always tried to make the argument simple because they sell in the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's evil and good is a sort of a desirable sort of thing that you would like to have to market policy. And the one thing about the Middle East that you have to come to grips with is that nothing is ever simple and that there are always cross currents. And well, there were from the time we invaded Iraq. There were those cross currents that you could almost predict would end up in some form of almost chaos. And what, you know, even though the violence is down, you can almost predict that what's going to happen next. There are two options. Either there's going to end up being a strong dictator at some point, or there's going to be chaos and violence.
And Sam, your friend, the thread that I pick up from that I comment on a repeated basis about the rhetoric of Bush and Cheney, is that they take a very complex set of circumstances and boil it down to a set of very clear black and white false choices. And the false choice that's been presented was that Iran is determined to develop a nuclear weapon. That doesn't surprise me. But the false choice is that we have no other option other than to mount a military confrontation.
Yeah, that's right. And you know that I think that, you know, one would have hoped that their attempt to simplify the situation was based upon an attempt to argue to the American people. But I'm afraid it was based upon their simple understanding of the situation.
I'm afraid you're right. and you know,
I mean, that's kind of sad. You know, it's one thing that if you if you understood black holes, and you say, well, they're just places where there's nothing. Okay. Now, it's much more complex, but I've found a way to simplify and state it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I make decisions based upon that simple thing, then I'm in trouble.
Well, and Exhibit A is we have been told that Bush
learned about this, that Mike McConnell tipped him off, that there is new intel shaping up about Iran, and this occurred during August when the president is famously on vacation, and he didn't ask any questions. Apparently, he had no curiosity about what this might mean and whether, for example, he might want to rein in his wild rhetoric just a little bit.
I really don't accept that. You know, I think that he probably was aware that something was going on. Certainly the White House was in the summer. You know, all the events seem to point to the defection of a retired general from the Iranian army in March when he was picked up in Turkey. The guy would have had knowledge of the nuclear program. So that information was around the government for that long. That's why when I was talking about the change in themes about the Iranians being bad guys, it sort of corresponded to that. And if you recall, the White House even said the president wasn't right. There have been subsequent statements which said, well, he really was told that the new information would change things.
Yeah, he had a Reagan moment, and then they had to correct.
Right.
Had to correct his misstatement. Sam Gardner is with us, retired as a colonel from the United States Air Force, and he's been paying very close attention, mostly on open source. He's always told me that he accesses the same news sources that are available around the world, and Sam has been very influential in helping us understand the U.S. posture toward Iran over the last couple of years. So, Sam, given that this general may have defected in the spring, Seymour Hersh says that the intelligence community got an inkling that Iran had stopped its nuclear development program perhaps as long as a year ago. And so when you see those outlines, how the hell did Cheney ever let this NIE see the light of day? It ruins his whole party.
Yeah, I've been told, have heard that they really didn't have a choice. I think that that there were some people who would have leaked it anyway. You recall that 2 weeks before the National Intelligence Estimate was released, the Director of National Intelligence, McConnell, said, we're never going to let these things out in unclassified form. And then 2 weeks later, it comes out. I think he was getting pressure from people in the intelligence community that said something to the effect, if you don't put this out, we're going to see that it gets out.
I've speculated in a similar vein that they basically said, look, this information is going to become public, and you can either own it and deal with it, or you can try to defend yourself from it.
Right. I think that's probably right. But I think I sent you an email. That what's interesting to me is that the White House has obviously set up a theme to debunk it. It's very subtle, but it's in the form that they used prior to the attack in Iraq. It's where what propagandists call the excluded conclusion. Well, let me see if I can explain. Before the attack of Iraq, it sort of went like this. Terrorists did 9/11. There are terrorist death squads inside Iraq. And the conclusion then that you and I are to come to is that somehow Saddam Hussein was connected to 9/11.
Right. They use sequential sentences that leave the implication that there is a linkage deeply implied. But when they are excerpted later, there is plausible deniability. Oh, I didn't mean that.
Yeah. Here's the one that they're using now. Iran used to have a secret nuclear weapons program. I call on Iran to come clean. Now, the implied conclusion is they must still have one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you notice, the president has used that argument, the Secretary of Defense has used it, and Cheney has used it.
Yeah. And Saddam actually did come clean before we attacked in March of 2003, but we weren't prepared to believe it. And I don't think that sets much of an example for Tehran. We got to take a break. We'll return in a moment with Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the U.S. Air Force. And if you have a question or comment, you can call me now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
I love coffee, I love tea. That's why Coffeetopia's the place for me. Coffee and tea, the honey and me. At Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Coffeetopia at 1723 Mission Street and 3701 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz offers the finest in handcrafted espresso drinks, whether it's a traditional Italian-style cappuccino or a sweet caramel macchiato. We offer a range of full-leaf teas, a choice of chais, including our new Zawadi African chai, and organic coffees. Coffeetopia also carries local baked goods fresh daily, including French-style pastries. Or try a toasted bagel with one of our exclusive non-dairy bagel spreads, either garlic dill or smoked tofu. Coffeetopia, Santa Cruz's oldest internet cafe, offers both free wireless and computer terminals for those who need them. Coffeetopia. Remember, we're here to help.
Coffee, Coffee, Coffeetopia.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540
AM. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest is Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the U.S. Air Force. We're talking about the U.S. posture toward Iran and the remarkable national intelligence estimate that was released about the beginning of December. And, Sam, as you look at the situation, Tehran has had some interesting responses. They claim that it's a kind of vindication of their position. And at certain times, Ahmadinejad has had kind of a conciliatory approach toward the U.S., other times less so. But in particular, you and I have talked before about the MEK, the Mujahideen al-Khalq, which was a group in Iraq that we believe has been hired by the United States and, spirited into Iran. And as far as I know, the intel still stands that we do have these clusters of commandos who are flagged under this organization that used to be listed as a terrorist group by the U.S. State Department.
And if they are operating inside Iran's borders, why has not Iran offered any kind of protest or exposed that to the world in response to this shift in American, not really our policy, but our intel?
Yeah. Actually, Peter, the fascinating thing is that they have done that. They haven't done it in about 2 years, but 2 years ago, there were some attacks in Baluchistan, which is in the southeast part of Iran. And the Iranians said, we believe this was done by groups that are sponsored by the Americans.
Hmm.
They have also said that in the northern part of Iran, that there have been clashes with a group called the PJAK, which is a spin-off of the PKK. You know, this is that Kurdish group in the northern part of Iraq
mm-hmm.
that the Turks are now fighting.
Right.
Well, the PJAK, according to the numbers of sources in the open press, are also operating inside Iran, attempting to cause damage to the military and cause civil problems for the Iranian government.
Mm-hmm.
And in both cases, the Iranians have mentioned that. That was one of the ways I validated. I mean, you know, because it's very embarrassing for a country to say that we have people operating inside our borders that we can't stop. So they have. I mean, they've acknowledged that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also would have thought that Ahmadinejad would have mentioned that during his charm offensive at the UN and Columbia University back in September.
Yeah, yeah. It has never come out of his mouth. It's always been out of releases by the regional military commanders.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he is embarrassed to say it.
Sam, let me ask you next about the Kyle Lieberman resolution, which has been used as a cudgel against Hillary Clinton by the other Democratic presidential candidates, and I join them. I think it was a real mistake to pass that resolution, non-binding as it was, and amended as it was from the original version that, that I believe Lieberman authored. That said, the idea of naming the, a portion of the Iranian military, the Revolutionary Guard, and the Quds Force as quote-unquote terrorists is bizarre and can only be seen as laying the groundwork for the justification of military action based on calling them quote-unquote terrorists.
You forgot to add one thing. They were also called proliferators of weapons of mass destruction.
Mm.
Now, in light of the National Intelligence Estimate, that last part seems bizarre. Even more so.
Yeah.
But I think you're right about where it was leading. I don't think there's anybody, including Israelis, who ever believed that sanctions were going to work against the Iranians. The Iranians said they wouldn't work. I believe them. But no serious student of the area believed that Iran was going to change its behavior because of sanctions. I think those that argued for sanctions, including people like Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, the Likud party leader who is as right-wing as you can be, only believed that sanctions were a path towards eventually doing something more serious, eventually to the use of military force.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the argument sort of went, well, we're not going to get support from the world if we don't seem to have tried all of the options. And sanctions were an option that had to be tried. So that we were doing that. And we are doing that.
And, Sam Gardner, just about a minute remaining. What is your view right now? Is this over? Will there be no more opportunity for a Bush-Cheney assault on Iran? Or have we been kind of tricked into complacency and there'll be some other initiative in the coming year?
I expect there to be some intelligence leaks that will suggest there is more to a secret program than we know. I would watch for that over the next few months.
Okay, if that's the case, then why would they have allowed this NIE to come out and essentially gain traction?
Because they had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
The White House has to take back control of the theme. They lost control of the theme. As we talked before the break, the first step is to debunk it sort of surreptitiously, and that's the Iranians have to come clean argument. Mm-hmm. Once you do that, then you have to take back over the public debate, and they've been very good at that. And you know, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs was in Israel last week. The Israelis don't believe the NIE.
That's right.
I expect if we don't see leaks by the U.S. government, I certainly expect leaks by the Israelis that will then be echoed in the U.S. press.
Colonel Sam Gardner, thanks for your intel, and thanks for talking with us today.
Good talking to you, Peter B.
Holiday best to you and the grandkids.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, how about this? Okay, that's the wrong one. Ladies and gentlemen, there was going to be a commercial here, but I put the wrong CD in. So I'll just tell you that you can contact the Organic Wine Company, talk to Veronique, and get yourself some great organic wine imported from France. And organic wine is better than your regular average brew because it comes from organic grapes. So check out their website at ecowine.com, ECOWINE, ecowine.com, or call them up and place an order. Toll free at 888-ECO-WINE. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Washington agrees on an energy plan.
A whole new world is going to open up to our country.
Detroit will go along.
Auto executives say meeting the new standards will be a challenge, but it's something they're committed to do.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. In the House today.
On this vote, the yeas are 314, the nays are 100. The motion is adopted.
Final congressional approval for a sweeping energy bill that makes the first changes to fuel economy standards for cars and trucks since 1975. It would also boost ethanol production and reduce the energy consumption of appliances and light bulbs. Speaker Nancy Pelosi says this opens up a whole new world.
With one stroke of the pen, we set America to a path to produce $22 billion in annual savings to our consumers.
At the White House, the welcome mat is out.
The bill would increase fuel economy and expand the use of renewable fuels. It will save billions of gallons of fuel, expand our energy security, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Spokeswoman Dana Perino says President Bush will sign it tomorrow. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert has reaction from Detroit.
The major auto companies say they can live with the new standards, but it's not going to be easy. Larry Dominique is Nissan's vice president of product planning.
Those standards are fine. You know, we're planning in that direction, and we're going to continue to plan to improve.
Dominique says expect more use of hybrids and alternative fuels, technology that could also add to the sticker price of future cars and trucks. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
General Motors says it will raise prices for 2008 models by between $100 and $1,500 to cover the cost of the rising cost of steel and other commodities. Now this.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So the clock is ticking, but you can't nail down a gift idea? I can fix that. Because the entire stock of hand tools, power tools, and tool storage is on sale at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. Now remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. Not to hammer home a point, but a tool sale this good only happens at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. So don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
It's not your father's coal-fired generating plant. Mattoon, Illinois has been chosen as the site of a $1.8 billion plant that's supposed to burn coal without emitting any gases linked to global warming. Not only is it good for the environment, Mayor David Klein says it's great for the local economy.
you're looking at approximately, you know, somewhere around 3,000 construction jobs, they said, and approximately 150 full-time jobs after it's completed and all.
Rather than being spewed into the air, carbon dioxide will be pumped deep underground. Just a month after three suspects were rearrested in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway, authorities in Aruba have consigned the missing Alabama teenager to the cold case file. The three young men had already been released when Aruban prosecutors issued a statement today saying the suspects refused to talk, and since Holloway's body has never been found, they'd likely be acquitted if they were brought to trial. Natalie Holloway was 18 when she disappeared during her senior class trip to Aruba in May 2005. She was last seen leaving a bar with the three suspects. A spokeswoman for Holloway's mother says Beth Twitty is terribly disappointed with today's decision. Voting along party lines today, the Republican-controlled Federal Communications Commission voted to ease restrictions on newspaper ownership by broadcasters. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
FCC Commissioner Kevin Martin says the relaxing of the 32-year-old restriction is intended to help the ailing newspaper industry. Broadcasters in the 20 largest markets will now be allowed to own a newspaper, too. But critics say when one company owns too many media outlets in a market, it can cut down on the diversity of opinions available to readers, viewers, and listeners. 25 senators sent a letter to Martin this week threatening to pass a law revoking the change, although it is supported by the White House.
Supporters of this change say it will enhance local news coverage, but Marvin Kalb, Edward R. Murrow Professor Emeritus at Harvard, is skeptical.
You're going to hear essentially the same news presented in many different locales, but it's not going to be an expansion of the news content itself.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So the clock is ticking, but you can't nail down a gift idea? I can fix that. Because the entire stock of hand tools, power tools, and tool storage is on sale at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. And remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in-store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. Not to hammer home a point, but a tool sale this good only happens at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. So don't just give a gift. Grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
May I help you?
Greetings. I had my eye on this nice big Odyssey, and this Civic sure is a looker. Oh, and the Accord, it's all new, isn't it?
Make this a season to remember. Think Honda for the holidays.
Oh, what the heck? I'll take all of them.
You want every Honda in our showroom?
Do you think I can fit them in this large red bag?
All right, is this a joke? Am I on a hidden camera or something?
Attention, there's a reindeer parked outside with its nose light on.
I'll be right back.
Happy Honda Days ends January 2nd.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
While I'm not placing any fat wagers on Chris Dodd for president, he's a real hero to me these days. The senator from Connecticut got off the campaign trail, left the wife and kids in Iowa, and returned to Washington, D.C. to threaten to lead a filibuster against Harry Reid and the cave-in bill on monitoring Americans' phone calls. Joining me to talk about this episode and more from the campaign trail in Iowa is Ari Melber, who writes for The Nation, and you can find his work at thenation.com. Ari, how are you today?
Good. How you doing?
Doing fine. It's good to talk with you. I want to take a look at the episode in the Senate where Harry Reid picked the worst of two bills about amending the FISA law. The FISA law put into effect after the Nixon administration to prevent unlawful monitoring of Americans' communications. And we know that the Bush administration has bulldozed through the FISA law and really overrun the FISA courts and has been trying to legalize its lawbreaking through legislation that basically would give retroactive protection to government officials and to the telephone companies that collaborated in this illegal effort of massive proportions. And so I do believe Chris Dodd is a real hero here, and I commend him for it. Walk us through, because I got a little confused during the breaking news, exactly what the nature of the cloture vote was. There was a 76-10 vote, and the real progressives like Barbara Boxer and Russ Feingold voted against it, while 76 members, including many Democrats, voted for it. And in the news accounts a day later, it's being characterized as that was permitting the debate to take place. But I'm a little confused by that.
Well, it depends all on how you define debate. The cloture votes basically signal that you're going to proceed to a certain limited number of hours of debate on an issue and then eventually have an up or down floor vote. So there was no real argument about it. There was nowhere near the 40 votes you would need to support a full filibuster. However, what Senator Dodd did effectively do was put public pressure on Harry Reid and other Democratic leaders who were looking to pass basically the Bush bill, which is, as you said, a real undermining of the rule of law and a real get-out-of-jail-free card for anyone involved in the illegal spying.
Mm-hmm.
And so ultimately, had there been enough time, unfortunately, and this is a warning for activists who care about these issues, Senator Dodd was going to lose a filibuster and have it overruled. But what he was able to do was provide that pressure, delay it, and ultimately Reid saw that it was going to take too much time and too much of a bite out of all the stuff he's trying to get done here in late December, so he backed down.
Mm-hmm. But I don't understand why Ted Kennedy, for example, or Dick Durbin voted with the majority on that cloture vote. Why? I thought they would be supportive of Dodd. Was it because they just wanted to move the business along?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly can't say why, as you emphasized, there were people who are good on this issue who voted the right way on surveillance issues in the past,
mm-hmm.
and thus you would expect them, at least in terms of legislative strategy, to be sticking with Dodd as he was the clear leader in putting up this fight. Having said that, it does get very complicated. Some of those folks may have felt that proceeding forward in a non-filibuster debate would have ultimately taken enough time that would have created pressure on Reid to back down. In other words, they thought that strategically there was no loss in voting for it, mm-hmm. and that then they would still be able to push this back until after the recess. Or they had some other logic that we don't know. I don't know why some of those folks did that on the vote.
Ari Melber with us from The Nation. Now, Ari, I am just so angry about these issues, and what I can't believe is that the Democrats don't use their prerogatives. There is no excuse that Nancy Pelosi let the Protect America Act go to the floor in early August as they were on their way out to the summer vacation. And now, as the holiday break approaches for the Senate, here comes Harry Reid permitting the worst of the two bills to go to the floor. And I simply cannot understand that, and I can't rationalize supporting these Democrats when they continue to sell us out in this manner.
Well, it's exactly right, and it's a very important point. This is the antithesis of leadership. Harry Reid says, on the one hand, he's against this retroactive amnesty for people who may have broken the law. And then he clears the deck and works as hard as he can to get the bad bill with that amnesty in it,
mm-hmm.
in a manner that would make it easier to pass. I mean, to cut through some of the details, let's just say that it's going to be easier the way he set it up. And then says, but I'm still against this. I'm clearing the deck so it'll pass, so we can get Bush the get-out-of-jail-free card he wants for all of these people who broke the law and spied on Americans and did other things we don't even know about. If these lawsuits are stopped, we may never know, because they're stripping the federal courts of their powers to basically enforce the law. It's an un-American approach, to say the least.
But again, yes, you have someone like a Senate Majority Leader of the Democrats saying he's against it and then making it happen. And it is literally worse than anything on this particular issue that the Republicans did when they controlled Congress. Because let's be clear, the Republicans did not do amnesty on the telecom companies over the past several years. So this will be a sin that will be a uniquely Democratic sin if this is what Congress ultimately does.
And what pushes me over the edge, Ari, is that just 24 hours before Reid allowed that bill to go to the floor, the New York Times expanded our knowledge of the law-breaking. And mm-hmm. we learned two critical things. One is that they started a spying in 2001. That we heard earlier from Quest, but we got more details that starting in 2001, they were using wiretaps to try to crack down on drug dealers from Latin America. So they started tapping international calls to Central and South America well before 9/11. And the other thing that James Risen and his co-authors of the article reported is that the request of Quest Communications, which they rebuffed, was access to local calls to a certain part of the grid, if you will, the telephone grid, that doesn't have anything to do with Osama bin Laden calling America. This was clearly spying on Americans as they communicated with other Americans. And that's clearly in violation of the FISA law, if not, the Fourth Amendment.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that is the little we know from, as you say, some very important intrepid reporting. But ultimately, we need not only full congressional investigations, but we need these lawsuits to continue so that the courts can decide. And it's really striking. You know, there's no reason that we can't trust the federal judges who are appointed by people in both parties to fairly adjudicate this issue. They judge everything else. And it really, you have to just take a step back and realize how extremist this idea is that you're going to take an entire subject matter off the table and out of the federal courts. It invites lawbreaking, and it basically purports or continues what may be a very massive criminal conspiracy. So it really is that extreme, as you put it.
Well, and I'm concerned, and I really want to be careful here because I don't like to hype things or spin out of control. But we have a case here of the most popular, highest-rated liberal talk show host on a San Francisco station who was heard up and down the West Coast is now off the air because he was indicted on charges of possession and trafficking in child pornography. And it doesn't pass the smell test. It appears to be further politicization of the U.S. attorneys. And in this case, it's possible that the evidence being used against Bernie Ward was acquired through the NSA diversions at the AT&T switch in San Francisco. And, you know, I'm holding back here because I don't want to make some full-throated allegation, but I do want to raise the question, which I think is legitimate, that we need to know exactly the scope and dimensions and the depth of this wiretapping to make sure that, say, the Siegelman case in Alabama, the former Democratic governor who's now serving a federal jail term, that appears to be another product of the politicized U.S. attorney operation directed possibly by Karl Rove or others in Washington. And these are the outlines of a creeping police state. And while I can't prove it, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to raise the question and try to open people's minds to it.
Yeah, and I think all these questions need to be pressed forcefully. And particularly when you talk about the domestic abuse of intelligence, because as I've written, we don't need to simply cast aspersions to the Bush administration. They don't have any credibility on most of these issues. They have public officials who've lied, who've been indicted and convicted, as well as the corruption of the Republican Congress. But even if you left that aside, Democratic and Republican administrations throughout the modern surveillance era have repeatedly abused the surveillance system. And people have been spied on ranging from Martin Luther King Jr. to John Kerry when he was an anti-war protester.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not at all, as you say, going too far or departing from the historical record to raise the questions of the abuse of surveillance for political and other efforts that undermine democracy and that ultimately, as you say, can really can really shake a country to its core. And, of course, as other people have pointed out, it was partly the abuse of wiretapping that was one of the articles of impeachment against Richard Nixon.
Right. He tried to use national security as a cover to prevent an investigation into the Watergate break-in. That's the whole genesis of the FISA law. And, Ari, here's an email unsolicited from a listener. He said, I'm writing to say that for nearly 30 years I worked in the department of then Illinois Bell Telephone Company, now AT&T, that received subpoenas from the government for court-authorized ordered wiretaps. There was only one person in our department responsible for this function. The requests were locked away in a separate safe, and short of waterboarding the person responsible for executing those requests, no other person knew who was being wiretapped. This was taken very, very seriously. So this is just anecdotal, but it's an example of how sharply things have changed just since the Bush administration took over. All right, we're going to take a break and return. I want to talk to you about some of the stories you've been developing from the scene in Iowa. There's a lot going on there as the caucuses are coming up here very shortly. We'll continue in a moment with Ari Melber. Read his work at thenation.com. Lines are open if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start to kick off with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
All right, everybody, let's take a little traffic this afternoon and to get you caught up to date. Well, we did have a problem on northbound 17 just to right around the summit. There was an earlier crash. Looks like traffic starting to I was blocking the right lane. Everything's off to the right-hand shoulder as a result of this now. Traffic is pretty backed up. CHP is off to the shoulder, wrapping up things there. Other than that, we're also going to take a look at a situation working as we get caught up to date here with our computer. There we go. We had a problem located right in Santa Cruz, or Salinas, Crazy Horse Canyon, Executive Drive on the right shoulder, a two-vehicle crash. Watsonville, Casserly at Carlton, injury crash. A vehicle went off the roadway into a pond. Emergency crews are on scene there. And this report is brought to you by Hallmark.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Can you take any more? John Fogerty can.
I can't take it no more.
A new one from John Fogerty, 1 minute and 39 seconds of an angry rant. I can't take it no more. Really powerful stuff. The only sad part is the only place you can buy the new CD is at Starbucks. I don't get that. It's a nice anti-corporate message. Only available at Starbucks. Ari Melber is with us from The Nation and TheNation.com. Ari, you stirred up some people here who are on the phone. Let's talk to them. Dave and Eureka, go ahead. You're on the air, Dave.
Hey, Peter and Ari. May I say, and largely from first-hand experience, that this unlawful spying on Americans that's going on, it has nothing to do with pursuing criminals. The criminals have planted themselves right down there in the White House, and they are in the business of monitoring those who would expose them, and they do just that. That's a harsh view, but it's one that I've experienced with them several times.
Well, you are entitled to it, Dave. You and I have been talking for years, and I have seen the evidence of tampering with your email account that cannot be explained by the kid down the street or, you know, somebody who just managed to find a way in. So thank you for that comment. I appreciate it. Now to Matt in Sacramento. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm just at the point where after your husband slapped you 50 times, say sorry 50 times, when'd you get a divorce? I'm done with both parties, but why don't people see that it isn't working? More Democrats? I think we've got Democrats in there, so what?
Well, Matt, I wish I had a real snappy comeback for you.
There is none, because these people are doing the exact same corporate garbage that the Republicans do.
Ari, what's your remark?
Well, Matt, I hear you, and that's what we were saying earlier, and I think that's 100% right for a lot of the folks. However, I, for one, today am glad that we have Chris Dodd, who happens to be a Democrat, in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we have Russ Feingold there, because on this issue, although it may have failed on others, they did succeed. And what that means concretely is the suits by the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the civil suits against AT&T, are going to continue over the next few weeks. And so that's a real incremental gain. It does not solve the big problems. It is not a full endorsement of either party for any office.
Well, and we can't...
why we need these people in the Senate, and why maybe if, you know, Chris Dodd lost the vote for majority leader by one vote way back a couple of years ago when they did it. And, you know, if you were majority leader instead of Harry Reid, you might have a whole different approach to civil liberties. So,
well, and I'm angry, I'm disappointed, I'm frustrated, but I'll never, at least I hope not, devolve to the Nader point where I say there isn't a dime's worth of difference between Democrats and Republicans. Yes, the Democrats have a lot of problems, but the Republicans are far worse, and just look at the Supreme Court if you need a reminder of that. Ari, just about a minute and a half remaining, and I'm sorry to give short shrift because you've been doing some great reporting on the warm-up to the Iowa caucuses. Let me just start off with Bill Clinton. Is he helping? And who?
I think that Bill Clinton is showing a certain frustration and a certain, at times, desperation with the state of the campaign. And so when that is the main message that people see, it hurts Hillary's claim to somehow be inevitable because her own biggest boosters look nervous. On the other hand, Bill Clinton remains a very popular figure, and you cannot underestimate his ability to win people over in Iowa in the home stretch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But his remarks that he was always against the war, that doesn't add up. The way he has dinged Obama for inexperience, and what experience did Bill Clinton have when he ran for president? And also, you know, I think it's a fair, valid question about the 35 years of experience that Hillary claims. I'm sorry, not all of that adds up to experience that's meaningful on a presidential resume.
I think that's right, and the former president is trying to remind people that he's here and he's a loud voice because there's a lot of folks who say, well, wouldn't it be nice to have him back? But, you know, you have to vote for the person at the top of the ticket. You have to assess the candidates themselves. He is not running. He's not on the ticket, no matter how loud he is. And as you say, people have to look at Hillary and her background and her positions and make up their own mind, not look at the spouses.
In 20 seconds, will Edwards pull off a surprise in Iowa?
You know, I'm headed out there at the end of December, so I'll be reporting more on it. My sense is that he's in a very well positioned to be a positive surging candidate. We'll have to see.
All right, let's talk in early January. Thanks, Ari Melber.
Thank you, and thanks to your listeners.
You bet. Read him at thenation.com. And subscribe to the magazine, too. They can use the money. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
How I've been coping with the writer's strike. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The late night shows are finally coming back, but I have to say, if you're looking for timely topical humor, it doesn't get much better than the late night floor speeches in the House of Representatives. Great set last night. Roll that.
No one can read a 3,565-page bill in 20 hours.
The Republicans were doing this routine about the omnibus spending bill. How many pages was that again?
The 3,565 pages cannot possibly have been combed by all of us in this time.
And the joke is that they spent $516 billion without reading what they spent it on. Oh, except for one item. They managed to read one thing.
Hillary Clinton's hippie museum, it's here.
Hillary's hippie museum. The joke there is that Hillary looks like a hippie about as much as Tim Gunn does. Anyway, it's just funny stuff. Oh, and the other night, I watched the Denny Hastert farewell dinner live from Chicago, where the co-hosts honored the former House Speaker as a man who was known for bringing people together. Listen to this.
Visualize this for a second. You're in the men's room in the Capitol, and in the stall next to Denny on his right is Larry Craig.
Oh, dear.
And in the stall to his left is a Democrat. You know what Denny would do? He would get out of there so fast and let them get together. Let them get together.
Oh, dear.
The timing of that final oh, dear. You can't teach that.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interest, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Hi, this is J.R. Medina, and I want to thank KRXA and its listeners for supporting my store, PG Liquors. My son-in-law, Chad, and I truly appreciate the wonderful positive response that we have received to our advertising campaign on this station. We urge other business people in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties who want to increase their business at a reasonable cost to call KRXA's sales manager, Larry Rathall, at 394-5792. KRXA provides the best advertising value that I have found for businesses like mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, the Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. From San Francisco, I'm your humble host, Peter B. You can email me anytime, and people do, I'm grateful. Peter at PeterBCollins.com. Or if we're not on the same page, try full of it at PeterBCollins.com. Don't add the SH, that won't work. That goes directly to Bill O'Reilly. Jason Leopold returns. He's an investigative reporter at truthout.org, the author of a personal memoir called News Junkie. Jason, how are you?
Hey, Peter. Good to be back with you.
Can you name that tune?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I knew you were going to ask me. It sounds like The Cardigans, but
nope.
It's probably not.
It's More Chiba.
Oh, wow.
And More Chiba
You dug into the vault there.
More Chiba is a great band. I don't know her name, but she is a tremendous vocalist. And about 3 years ago, I was in L.A., and I accidentally caught them at the Wiltern Theater.
They were a good band from the 90s. Had a couple records out.
Yeah, yeah. So,
nice, Peter, nice.
Did okay on that one. So, Jason, we've got so much to talk about, and I know that you have stories in the works will be published over the next few days or week or so.
Right.
So let's dive into the struggle in Washington now over the CIA torture videos.
This
Jane Harman, who was on the Intelligence Committee, somebody who I don't have the highest regard for. I believe that she was very lax in accepting in a lot of these Bush administration initiatives that have infringed and impinged on our rights and also permitted some cowboy behaviors that never should have occurred. That said, Jane Harman believes that this set of issues could lead to a constitutional crisis. And she's a very conservative, pro-military type. So if she's saying that, then that's worth noting.
I think it is. And I think that, what I'm paying more attention to right now is Peter Hoekstra and the fact that he, the Republican, is really going after this investigation and is challenging the Bush administration, the White House, on the fact that they're, and the Justice Department, the fact that they're continuing to stonewall. This is just the latest investigation that they're stonewalling. I have to say that when it comes to the Democrats, when it comes to Jane Harman, Nancy Pelosi, it's just lip service. And that's unfortunate, but we've seen it with regard to the funding for the occupation in Iraq. That they're not going to do it, then they're going to do it. It's very difficult to trust them. I should say that I do have a story coming out tomorrow that I believe will expand upon this issue regarding the CIA, the destruction of the videotapes. And let me just say that in order to just get a nugget of information over the past couple of weeks, literally had to spend a good week devoted to just this issue, just to get a little bit of info. And, I can say that the story that I have basically will show that Michael Chertoff, the Homeland Security Secretary, actually was involved in this whole ordeal.
Really?
And that's something that I don't believe has, correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, that has not been out there yet.
Yeah, he was like a number two guy at the Justice Department before he moved over after Tom Ridge retired.
Right. He was the head of the Justice Department's Criminal Division.
Mm-hmm.
And the story I have actually relies upon, the public record, which the, sometimes when you're the reporters that are leading the charge on this story have not really, dug into their own past reporting to see who all the key players are. And Chertoff is certainly a key player here with regard to, this story, these specific videotapes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that my story will establish that and also show that, the destruction of the tapes, which I'm sure has been mentioned before, really took place once happened once the Washington Post exposed the CIA's secret prison sites.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure that you and I discussed that, but that happened. That story by Dana Priest,
mm-hmm.
Which she won a Pulitzer Prize for, came out in November 2005. That specific story also mentioned Abu Zubaydah, who was the so-called high
high value.
Yeah, who was allegedly subjected to waterboarding and also was the CIA videotaped it.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I don't know if the destruction of the tapes came as a result of that story, but I can tell you that that is something that Congress is actually looking at, because it took place literally right after the Washington Post broke that story.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is, in the confirmation hearings for Attorney General Mukasey, we heard a lot about his history.
Right.
But we didn't realize that he had a background in construction, in particular as a stonemason, because it appears that between him and Fred Fielding, the old hand at the White House, I mean, that guy's a real fossil, but he was there to help construct these stone walls that were used during the Nixon administration.
Literally.
And it appears that these guys are working in concert to erect stone walls. And they've got to be real busy real fast, because Mukasey in particular is pushing back, trying to keep Congress from conducting hearings on this, saying that it might mess up his investigation.
Right. That's just outright ridiculous, first of all. And I've spoken to former Justice Department officials. In fact, David Iglesias, a former U.S. attorney,
mm-hmm.
who conducted many high-profile investigations that included, some congressional oversight that took place during the same time. That also goes for Carol Lam in San Diego. And, it's absolutely unheard of to Congress is able to conduct an investigation while, the Justice Department conducts its own investigation. The real issue is the fact that the Justice Department, the Bush administration, is in no position to investigate itself. Nobody can trust it, that it would be free from any sort of whitewashing the fact that there would be any malfeasance involved. Mm-hmm.
But Mukasey has rejected, I think it was Joe Biden who called for a special counsel here.
Yeah, and he did reject that. And, mm-hmm. But again, Peter, this is, the fact that Mukasey wouldn't even respond to questions about waterboarding, whether that amounted to torture. He totally dodged that. And you know what? They voted him in anyway. This is by no means a surprise. Again, you know, this he was handpicked for what he, you know, would do for this administration. And I believe that he's doing exactly, you know, what he promised this White House.
Now, Jason, I also think that there's another wall that has to be erected here, and pretty quickly. I heard a news account today of a federal judge in Washington who has called administration officials in for a hearing later this week.
Yeah, Friday.
And that he ruled 2 years ago that tapes like this should not be destroyed.
Absolutely. He issued a ruling, I believe it was January 2005. And he said that basically that any evidence, and I believe it really covered, you know, it covered whether there were videotapes should be preserved. And to say that this judge is upset would be an understatement. He absolutely, you know, resisted the Bush administration, the White House, the Justice Department's calls to not you know, investigate this or hold hearings or and he wants everyone in court on Friday. He wants to know exactly you know, what he's dealing with here.
And do you know what the origins of that case were that resulted in his order that was obviously ignored?
I have to say that right now I do not know.
Okay.
I believe that it actually. Yeah, I'm going to say right now I don't know exactly what it involved, you know, that is something that I'm looking at because it will again expand upon the story and show additional individuals at the CIA and the Justice Department, you know, knew full well what was you know, what was happening here. And that, you know, these things should not have been destroyed.
Jason, let me sleuth around here and see what other information you have that you can share with us. In particular, I have heard, or maybe I read on a website or two, that there may be digital copies of these videotapes that have been, quote-unquote, destroyed. Also, the one of the intimations that I've read is that these tapes actually never made it into the United States. They were destroyed overseas.
Right.
Do you have any information? Do we know that the tapes in question were the only ones, that there are no copies, that they have, in fact, been destroyed? Because, you know, it could really change the nature of this investigation if there are copies.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that I'm working on another story. And that I literally spent the past couple of weeks actually interviewing some people over at the FBI who were involved in interrogations related to, you know, alleged Al-Qaeda members. There are audio tapes, and there are some videotapes, because some of the other, in addition to these, I've not yet been able to establish whether those videotapes, you know, if there are instances of waterboarding on there that took place during the interrogation of similar to Abu Zubaydah. But most of the interrogation, I don't know what they call them, rooms. They had closed circuit cameras. In fact, some of the FBI officials who you know, were involved in the interrogation said that there's you know, perhaps thousands of hours of tape simply because of the closed circuit cameras, and there's a number of hours of audio because they were using that. You know, in debriefings with the clandestine department over at the CIA. That all makes sense.
Now, you just referred to thousands of hours. I have read accounts that in the case of Abu Zubaydah himself, that the tapes run into the hundreds of hours. Yet we have been led to believe that he caved in 35 seconds
right.
of waterboarding. Now,
right.
I don't know about you. I'm a swimmer, but I can hold my breath underwater for about 2 minutes. This idea that on first application of waterboarding, that in 35 seconds he gave it up, is very hard to believe. What is more believable is Craig Unger's reporting, and
right.
Unger wrote the House of Bush, House of Saud about 7 years ago, a great book about the interconnection
yeah.
between the Bush family and Saudi Arabia. And what he has reported is that Zubaydah actually started collaborating or cooperating or coughing up information when they faked him out and said that the interrogators were actually Saudis. And he said, oh, my friend, call the prince. Here's his number.
Right.
He'll tell you who I am, and everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And he also made claims in the interrogation, according to Craig Unger, that he knew of collusion between Saudi Arabia and Pakistan related to 9/11.
Right.
So if any of this is true, then we're dealing with some very hot, hot information.
Well, first of all, just getting or discussing Abu Zubaydah, Ron Susskind, who's an investigative reporter, wrote the book, The 1% Doctrine, great book.
Yeah.
Really digs deep into this administration and what took place behind the scenes with regard specifically to this issue, interrogation, waterboarding. He says that Abu Zubaydah was, in fact, a low-level operative of al-Qaeda, basically drove people around. In addition to that, he said that... Ron Susskind said that Abu Zubaydah was mentally ill and that he was simply providing the his interrogators with anything they wanted to hear just to get the torture to stop.
Right, and that is a common response.
Even goes a bit further and says that the FBI officials and some CIA officials who really discounted his information and had told the White House about that, had told George Tenet about that. George Tenet, there's a really great scene in Ron Susskind's book about
let me,
it. But
let me ask you to
George
tell us
about that.
Tell us right after the break. I'm
you
sorry, I've held it as long as I could, and now we've
sorry.
Got to release to our radio stations. We'll continue with Jason Leopold in just a moment and hear the rest of that story. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join in on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombie has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombie's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombie's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombie's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombie.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at traffic, and to get you caught up to date, I want to mention that we do have a problem being reported in Salinas, Crazy Horse Canyon Road at Executive Drive. Still got that crash being reported there. Also, CHP telling us about another problem. It is in, we had a problem in northbound 17 before the cats, it's cleared. So ultimately what I'm going to tell you is that we have no problems to report in Monterey, Santa Cruz, or Salinas at this point. But what I can tell you is that eastbound 25 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. Pockets of slow traffic right between, Monterey and Carmel. The support brought to you by Craig and Auto Parts. You say you're looking for fun on two wheels? Get a 2.8 horsepower Baja Blitz mini bike for just $249 at Craig and Auto Parts. You know where to go.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Sponsored this hour by the Organic Wine Company. You eat organic food, so drink organic wine. It's better for you, better for the planet. Log on to their website, ecowine.com. More than 60 different types of wine they offer, all imported from France. Or you can call in toll-free, ask a question of Veronique, or order some wine. Ask them for the Peter B. Holiday Pack. That number is 888-ECO-WINE, 888-ECO-WINE. We continue now with Jason Leopold from truthout.org. And I'm sorry, Jason, we had to interrupt there for the commercial business.
Yeah, I tend to...
Stories. Not at all. I'm fascinated by this. So you were telling us about Ron Suskin's information about Zubeda.
A really great background into that actually sheds additional light into perhaps what took place regarding Abu Zubeda, the first so-called high-level detainee whose interrogation was videotaped, and the CIA and FBI officials who had alerted the agency and the White House that, in fact, he was a low-level member of Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this was reiterated to the White House, President Bush continued to go out there and say that, this is a big deal. We have imprisoned a man who, was plotting to attack the United States. Apparently, according to Ron Suskin, George Tenet had advised President Bush that Abu Zubeda wasn't who he thought he was. But Bush said to Tenet, according to Suskin, that you're not going to, I'm paraphrasing here, but you're not going to let me lose face on this, are you, George? And Tenet responded with, no, sir, Mr. President.
Hmm.
So they continued to apparently interrogate, the CIA continued to interrogate him, despite the fact that the information that he provided was not credible.
Yeah. Now, Jason, one more stone wall the Mukasey needs to build is the Waxman Wall.
Right.
So what's going on there?
Well, he's... it's interesting. Henry Waxman is absolutely all over the, his silence regarding certain issues should not be interpreted, certainly by me or anyone else, that he has simply given up on a matter. And he has given the Justice Department a January 3rd deadline of turning over documents, which include the interviews of President Bush and Vice President Cheney that Patrick Fitzgerald had conducted. And apparently Mukasey didn't even respond to his original letter 2 weeks ago. Waxman once again wrote another letter to him today saying, I want these documents. And now that Scooter Libby has dropped his appeal, there's no longer an investigation.
Oh, come on. Now you can't take that away from Bush. He's going to keep singing that same song until January 20th, 2000. Well, I'd love to comment, but I hope we have an ongoing. We got to have somebody get an ongoing investigation so I don't have to comment.
Somebody out her again, please. Get that special prosecutor busy.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what he says, but I want to leave you with this. Mm-hmm. And I think we may have discussed this last time, but forgive me, I don't remember. One of the documents that Henry Waxman would like to obtain that he has not been able to obtain for one reason or another is a letter that Patrick Fitzgerald had sent to Rove's attorney, Robert Luskin, that supposedly said that Rove is in the clear. You would think that that is something that Congress would be able to get, but the administration is blocking that request.
Yeah. I know a reporter would really like to see a copy of that letter.
Yeah.
He's been asking for it ever since it surfaced.
So it's very much alive, Peter. It's certainly going to be an interesting new year.
It sure is. And, of course, on the other front, our friend Larissa Alexandrovna from Ross Story has done a fabulous job with this multi-part series about the case of former Governor Don Siegelman.
Right.
And all of this stuff, it all leads back to Karl Rove.
Yeah. So, you know, again, Rove's name is all over everything. But yet, you know, here we have Newsweek and some other, you know, media outlets. You know, that invites him in to, you know, share his opinion on the upcoming campaign. It's just horrible.
Well, and they had to do it to offset the inclusion of Marcos from the Daily Coast.
Right, right. That's I guess that's a good balance, huh?
Got to be fair and balanced, even if it's neither. Jason, thank you very much. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you, Peter.
We'll talk to you in the new year.
Take care.
Jason Leopold, truthout.org. Their fundraiser's underway. If you can help, you can help support their investigative journalism. They do a lot of great work at truthout.org. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show podcast, available at peterbcollins.com. This program is produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is on duty today taking your calls. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or a strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A big energy bill is on its way to the president's desk.
This bill is a great, wonderful first step toward an energy revolution that starts in America and ripples throughout the world.
That's Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Details from CBS News correspondent John Harchi.
The House vote completes congressional action on an energy bill that raises the fleet fuel economy requirement for the first time in three decades. By the year 2020, automakers will have to achieve an average fuel economy figure of 35 miles to the gallon, up 40% from now. The measure also requires more ethanol use, six times more than now, intended to reduce petroleum demand. It also sets new efficiency standards for light bulbs, dishwashers, and clothes washers.
Correspondent Mark Noller has the view from the White House.
It's not everything the president wanted in an energy bill, but Press Secretary Dana Perino says it's close enough, and President Bush can't wait to sign it into law.
The bill would increase fuel economy and expand the use of renewable fuels. It will save billions of gallons of fuel, expand our energy security, and reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Best of all, she says the bill contains no tax increases. A Wednesday morning bill signing ceremony is being hastily arranged at the Energy Department. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
The FCC voting 3-2 along party lines has loosened restrictions on media ownership, allowing the same company to own a newspaper and a TV or radio station in the top 20 markets. Republican Chairman Kevin Martin says this might help forestall the erosion in local news coverage.
It's actually something that's critical if we want to support and preserve the local news gathering that newspapers provide.
But skeptics think this small change could turn into something very big. CBS News correspondent Wyatt Andrews reports.
The problem, according to consumer groups, is that the FCC never enforced the ban on cross-ownership and can't be trusted now. With the ban in place in at least 26 cities, including New York and Los Angeles, major papers own television stations now. Big media companies have spent years consolidating control in large and small markets, and critics believe more media consolidation will lead to fewer voices on the news, not better news.
Many of Colorado's electronic voting machines have been declared unreliable.
There are certain electronic voting machines and certain optical scan machines that are used to count paper ballots that are either not secure or cannot accurately count every vote.
Secretary of State Mike Coffman says a software patch would make some machines usable next November. Others will have to be replaced. Natalie Holloway's mother is said to be very disappointed. 2.5 years after her teenage daughter disappeared in Aruba, prosecutors have thrown up their hands. No body has ever been found, making it difficult to prove murder. And three young men seen with her last, even though they've been in custody several times, have refused to talk. The Dow, 65 points higher today, closing at 13,232. This is CBS News.
Hi, folks. I'm Peyton Manning, inviting you to experience the Sony High Definition difference for yourself. To demonstrate how experiencing something makes a difference, I've asked Steve to give me a hand.
Hello.
Steve here thinks that
I have a weak arm.
Really? All right. So, Steve, take a few steps back.
Sure.
Ready?
Are we going to practice?
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
It's important to experience something. High definition. It's in Sony's DNA.
And right now, through December 23rd, you can save $399 on the combined purchase of a qualifying Sony Bravia LCD large screen HD TV and a Sony BDP S300 Blu-ray disc player. Experience the unparalleled 1080p HD picture quality that only this combination provides. Whether you're watching a game on your Sony Bravia HD TV or watching a movie on your Sony Blu-ray disc player, the best way to watch HD just got more affordable. To learn how you can save $399 on the ultimate HD combo, visit a participating Sony dealer or sony.com/HDNA.
The aircraft carrier Ronald Reagan, with its crew of thousands, came to the rescue off the coast of Baja California. The story from reporter Marna Davis.
When a 14-year-old cruise ship passenger's appendix burst, Naval Surgeon George Linville says they steamed 500 miles to pick her up.
She would have been much sicker 24 hours later. The fact that the Navy decided to send us south to pick her up was very much to her advantage.
So what does Mom Trudy LaField think?
Well, I think the Navy did an exceptional job.
And 14-year-old Laura is now resting comfortably. Marna Davis for CBS News, San Diego.
The cruise ship Dawn Princess returned to San Diego on schedule over the weekend. The USS Ronald Reagan returned to port this morning. A man in Athens, Greece, admits he walked right over an SUV that was illegally parked on the sidewalk. He was detained by police and charged with damaging property for leaving dents in the hood. What irks him, he says, is that he's facing trial while the driver didn't even get a ticket. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This holiday season, give the most eternal, unique gift of the year. Name a star after someone. I'm Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we'll name a star after anyone on your gift list. The star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office, and we will send an incredible personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com for the gift that shines forever.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. So the clock is ticking, but you can't nail down a gift idea? I can fix that. Because the entire stock of hand tools, power tools, and tool storage is on sale at the Sears Last Minute Wish Sale. And remember, when you order gifts at Sears.com and pick up in store, they'll be ready in 5 minutes guaranteed. Not to hammer home a point, but a tool sale this good only happens at Sears, now through Christmas Eve. So don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 12/24/07.
Live. unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
In fact, you can call in right now toll-free. We're launching into the free speech zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You know the rules? Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. We are all the way live, en vivo, up and down the left coast and inland to Sacramento. My Spanish is a little weak, but maybe this is the Zona de Habla Libre. If you speak more Spanish than I do, call and help me out, okay? That's Ricky Martin in Espanol. And all my lines are open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You can also drop me an email, peter at peterbcollins.com. Now, quite often at this time, Melanie Sloan joins us with an update from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, but Melanie's unavailable today. I believe there's a big party underway at CREW, not just for the holidays, but because they won a victory against the Bush White House. As federal judge Royce Lamberth of District Court in Washington ruled in favor of CREW in their lawsuit against the White House, saying that the visitor logs are public records, and ordering the Bush administration to stop withholding them from scrutiny by outside groups. Yes, starting with Dick Cheney's Energy Commission back in 2001, the Bush administration has acted like their fortress mentality is actually supported by federal law. And it's not the case, and Melanie and CREW have prevailed. So it'll be interesting to see what the White House does. They'll probably appeal it, and then they'll probably say, oh, we lost all those logs. We burned the logs. Yeah, well, you know, winter, we burned the logs in the fireplace. Something like that. On today's program, we heard from Ari Melber at The Nation, and he helped me straighten out a little confusion that captured me yesterday. And it's partly because I got some partial information from the activities in the Senate related to Chris Dodd's attempt to filibuster Harry Reid's decision to bring the bad intelligence bill, the one that would give amnesty to phone companies and also other ways of letting people off the hook for the illegal spying on American citizens. And so what happened is right after the show was over, a listener emailed me and I logged on to the internet and I saw that while we were having this discussion during the 5 o'clock Pacific hour yesterday, that's when it was announced that Harry Reid had pulled the bill from the floor. And so it did not, the underlying bill was not voted on. And my criticism of Democrats who voted to end debate stands. And if you felt I overstated that in any way, I do offer this musical apology.
Excuse me.
But as we spoke earlier today with Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive, as well as Ari Melber from The Nation, Harry Reid has seriously misjudged you and me and others out there who are very concerned about legalizing the law-breaking of the Bush administration and extending the illegal, unconstitutional spying on Americans. Here's an example, an email from Jim in Sacramento. Peter B., I'm a regular listener on 1240 Talk City. No subject makes me more furious than the proposed retroactive immunity for spying on Americans issue. Not only is this proposed bill reprehensible beyond belief, it would be an abject betrayal of American values and principles. Abraham Lincoln, who decried war profiteering during the Civil War, and Harry Truman, who actively pursued World War II war profiteers, would be apoplectic. I am even now preparing a letter to Dianne Feinstein, and Jim, she has two N's in Dianne, it's not your fault, informing her that if she supports this bill, I will not only refuse to ever again support her, but will actively support her opponent or opponents in the future. That is how strongly I feel about this. Well, Jim, I agree with you. Unfortunately, Dianne Feinstein is not up for re-election until 2012, and she can reliably hope that most of this will be forgotten by that time. But I know you won't forget, and I won't forget. And it's one of the reasons. I mean, I've known Dianne Feinstein since she was a San Francisco mayor and a supervisor. I observed her failed run for governor, followed by the run for the Senate, which was successful. And I cannot support Dianne Feinstein. I have never voted for her for federal office. And some people know about this. To some, this may come as news, and to some, even a shock. But in 2000, I worked as a media consultant on the Republican campaign for Tom Campbell, who ran against Dianne Feinstein and lost. And I don't agree with Campbell on every issue, but he's principled. He is a constitutional scholar who used to teach law at Stanford University. He's now dean of the business school at Berkeley. And he's a man who I know to be intellectually honest. And while he's a free trader and I don't agree with a lot of his economic positions, any day of the week I would take Tom Campbell over Dianne Feinstein in the United States Senate. So I write her off. She's a Lieberman in my book. I mean, all that's left for her to do is endorse John McCain for president. Get right on the bus with Joey. Here's another item you might want to talk about. Earlier in the program, we spoke with Matt Rothschild about Iran. He is skeptical that the story is over. And Colonel Sam Gardner, retired from the Air Force, added some intelligence to our discussion. There's a full-page ad in the New York Times today, bought and paid for probably at the top rate by MoveOn.org. After their Petraeus ad was revealed that they got a discount. I don't think they get discounts anymore. Now, this one is in comic book form. First panel shows Bush on the telephone. Carl, after Iraq, they'll never elect a Republican in 08. Carl's on the phone, appears to be in a car. Threaten Iran. Talk about World War III. Next panel, back to Bush. But now everyone knows they've stopped developing nukes. Fourth panel, Carl Rove from the car. We never let the truth stop us before. And the ad reads, the Bush legacy waging war for political gain. It ends with this, George Bush must be stopped. A resolution is being introduced in the House by Neil Abercrombie of Hawaii. It explicitly states that George Bush has been given no authority to go to war with Iran. It is a sad commentary on the Bush presidency that the resolution is vital and must be passed. Otherwise, there's no telling what George Bush might do. Note that name. Neil Abercrombie, no M in the front, Abercrombie, congressperson from Hawaii. You might want to favor him with a phone call or an email and let him know you support that. 888-5, Peter B., the free speech zone is available for you, and Tom is going to kick things off from Sacramento. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Peter B.? A long-time listener, first caller.
Well, I'm delighted you did.
I love your show. You do a wonderful job for the community and the nation as a whole.
Thank you.
Hey, I'd like to throw something at you about the 2008 presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today, again, I guess Colorado came out with saying some of the voting machines were not up to par, so to speak. And we know that this is happening throughout many other states, as far as even here in California. What would happen if Bush all of a sudden said, hey, the results are unreliable for the election, and we need to get that back in order before I'm going to leave office?
So you mean he would extend his term?
He'd extend his term by saying the election was invalid due to faults in electronic voting machines or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from the Democrats, if they win, that's a strategy you take for Republicans. If the Republicans win and there's some, you know, chicanery going on, the Democrats are going to challenge it. They have to challenge the election.
Well, Tom, I'm kind of skeptical of this. I don't rule it out 100%. Because after all, after 9/11, Rudy Giuliani decided that he was so important to the city of New York that they should either amend the charter or just ignore it and allow him to stay on as mayor because the continuity was so crucial. And even that, you know, it didn't fly very far, and nobody attempted to actually put that into effect. And while we've seen, for example, the executive orders that have been issued, the practice runs with evangelical ministers who are being trained to pacify the public in event of martial law, the experience in Pakistan where Bush, you know, was essentially mute, he offered a couple of critical remarks for Musharraf's state of emergency, but, you know, in general, he kind of admired that and said, wow, I don't need to do that to the Supreme Court, but I sure could use a little martial law to reshape the Congress in my own image and likeness. So, as I say, I personally don't think that that is likely.
You never know. I tell you, I talk to a lot of people, and people are really fed up.
Mm-hmm.
I know I am. I mean, this I've been a Democrat all my life, going back to, you know, Bobby Kennedy's campaign and Pat Brown here in California.
Wow. Tom, you're ancient.
I am. I'll be 60. I'm a baby boomer.
I mean, if we sawed you open, how many rings would we find there?
You'd find 59.
All right. Well,
you can't help getting older, so you might as well be proud of it.
That's right. Tom, thanks for being a first-time caller today. I hope you'll do it again.
Hey, you bet. Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you. 888-5, Peter B. Lines are open for you here in the Free Speech Zone. We'll return after a break. Dr. Elmo is going to be here live tomorrow at this very time, between 5 and 6 Pacific time. And yes, we'll force him to play that Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer song. That'll be tomorrow. But meantime, your calls are welcome today. Any subject, 888-5, Peter B. Your dentist listen to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Hey, everybody, let's see what's going on. Well, we do have a little bit of a situation working now. At least we did just a little while ago. CHP telling us about a problem. It was right on northbound 17 before the summit, and it was a crash blocking the right lane. It looks like everything's now off to the shoulder, although traffic is pretty backed up because of this at this point. Other than that, just going to let you know that Highway 9 in Bedlam and between Middle Road and Western Avenue, the left lane will be closed for what we call road rehabilitation. It's a fancy way of saying road work until the 29th. Meanwhile, I also want to take a look at the southbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Slow traffic being reported there. And eastbound 183, a little bit sluggish out of Castroville into Salinas. Well, this report brought to you by Icy Hot Heat Therapy. Icy Hot Heat Therapy patches provide powerful relief at the point of pain.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 23 minutes after the hour. We're in the free speech zone, and nobody is on the line to exercise their First Amendment rights. So I think I'll fix that. I'm going to give one of these bad president countdown calendars to the day when Bush leaves office to the first person who calls in right now and has a cogent comment. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. You dial 1-888-573-8372. It always works. Bribery, it works. But I still believe. And Brian's on the other line, so I'm just going to pick this one up right on the air. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Jay.
Jay?
Wow, you picked me up right off the line. I'm from Sacramento, and I'm reading a book by Griffin called The Creature from Jekyll Island, and I want to share that with all of your listeners because that book is just such a great book and just has so much a wealth of knowledge.
Really, what's it about?
It is about the Federal Reserve, and the creature which it's referencing is the Federal Reserve, which was created in a meeting that occurred on Jekyll Island, which is off the East Coast, back in 1910.
Mm-hmm.
Back when the government was still trying to figure out how to do its own currency, and the Federal Reserve was what was decided upon, I guess.
And was Alan Greenspan there? I mean, he's old enough.
Yeah, I don't think so. It does actually talk about some of his actions with bailing out different banks and how that affects our inflation rate. And just the book is just astonishing. I really would love for everybody to read it because it really... The intro to the book really talks about the fact that the whole Federal Reserve and the whole monetary system in the United States government is so messed up, it's just so hard for the average American to believe it because mm-hmm. it occurred so long ago, 1910. Nobody's still alive that was even around pre-Federal Reserve, so everybody just goes along with it.
And most people don't understand the murky way that the Federal Reserve is chartered, and that, you know, it's not directly under the control of the government. And yet it is very responsive to politics and to corporate interests.
But one thing that I find most interesting and I wanted to share with before I let you go is just inflation, what inflation truly is. And what it is, the devaluation of our dollar. If you want a car that's not a luxury car, it's just a bottom-of-the-line car, back in the 70s, that cost you $3,000. Now it's like $15,000, $17,000. Why does it cost more? It still serves the same purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the dollar is no longer worth what it used to be worth, and the reason why the dollar has become devalued or continues to be devalued is because of the Federal Reserve just creating money out of thin air. It used to be backed by gold, which gave you some form of a bias, and then And then now it's not at all backed by anything. And the Federal Reserve, in order to bail out these people, which they say is to do, which they're doing for our benefit, you know, because if they don't bail out these banks or these large corporations like GM that's going under or whatever, then if they don't bail those out, you know, all these people will lose jobs. So they got to create this just money out of thin air to bail out these people. So
well, it's interesting.
The market, of course, the value of the dollar goes down. And
it's interesting because in the New York Times today, it's reported that a guy I know, a fellow named Bob Gnezda, who has been an activist on behalf of consumers and against banks and other predatory money people for a long time, he revealed, and I think it was in 2004, that he personally warned Alan Greenspan about the subprime mortgage problems that are melting down right now. And so this was on the radar. They should have known about it, and they probably did, but they papered it over. They ignored it because they thought that the market would eventually correct itself.
Well, what I'm getting into in the book right now, which I haven't read the whole thing, so maybe I'm a little premature on jumping into things, but where I'm going to, the next chapter, is all about the New World Order, which is a socialistic plan that a lot of people, George Bush Sr. actually talked about it. I was watching footage of it. A social system for the world where basically what they're trying to do right now is by devaluing, well, this is a potential, this is, I don't know, I'm not going to say conspiracy, but it's a potential. What they're trying to do is devalue the United States value and spread it amongst other countries, which would create more of a social type situation. The World Bank really is.
Well, Jay, they certainly have, pardon me, taken the air out of the dollar, and anybody who's traveled overseas recently has experienced that. Listen, thanks a lot for the call. What's the name of the book again?
The book is called The Creature from Jackal Island.
Okay. Well, after you've read it all, send me an email and let me know if you think we ought to have the author on the program.
Oh, will do, definitely. Thank you
so
much.
Now, Jay, hold on, because Brian's going to capture your email or your mailing address, your snail mail address, and we're going to send you one of these Bad President calendars. And each day you rip off a page, and it helps you count down. I believe we now have 399 days remaining until Bush leaves office.
Another thing similar to that, they've got a deck of cards out. It's 52 cards on why George Bush and Dick Cheney should be impeached. And they came up with 52 separate things for each card. It's fantastic. It's like impeachbushcards.com.
Okay. Gotcha, Jay. Thanks for the call. You bailed me out.
Take care.
All right. And hold on here so we can get your address, okay? Brian, get his address. And send Homeland Security. We're going to continue in just a moment, live here in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer.
The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This is Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Show, and I have good news and bad news for KRXA listeners. First, the good news. I'm cutting an hour from the Tasty Planet Show starting this Saturday. That's right, Saturdays, you'll have an extra hour to sleep in since I'll be delivering everything tasty for your ears starting at 2 p.m. That's the Tasty Planet Show, Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Now the bad news. Just when you thought radio couldn't get any worse, starting December 10th, I'll be live with you for 2 hours, weekdays, Monday through Friday, following the Peter B. Collins Show. That's evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. What's the Scott Dick Show? Glad you asked. We'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, news that hasn't already been lip-smacked to death, right-wing nuttery, weird news, yes, there's a difference, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that influences our lives. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and listen in evenings 6 to 8 on KRXA. December 10th, the gift you can't give back. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., the Scott Dick Show, where we'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Live from the Left Coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. Got a couple of lines open if you'd like to join us in the free speech zone, 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-573-8372. We've been talking about the cave-in by Democrats on one issue after another in Washington. And as we told you last week, one of our listeners, Tom Unziker from Santa Cruz, has hopped on his bicycle. He's heading to Washington to the rescue. He's towing a little trailer that is loaded with pairs of balls to deliver to members of Congress. Tom, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Peter. I'm dry and warm, finally.
Well, that's important. Has it been kind of nasty? Because here in California, we got a real dousing last night.
Well, I'm still in California. I've only made it to Santa Maria so far, but I'll tell you, by about 1 o'clock this afternoon, I literally felt drier in a swimming pool.
And do you keep slogging on in the rain, or do you, just occasionally take shelter?
Well, keep slogging on as much as I can. Today, I kind of wussed out a little bit early so that I could get dry and make this phone call.
Uh-huh.
So I felt it was important to check in.
Well, I'm glad you did. And yesterday, your wife Connie informed us that you had not one but two flat tires just outside of San Luis Obispo.
That's right. I couldn't believe it. 2 and 2 miles. I was informed by a cyclist that they come in threes, so I'm waiting for the next one.
And do you patch them up and reinflate yourself on the scene?
Oh, you bet. I've got a big tire pump on the trailer. It looks kind of like a little covered wagon.
Uh-huh. Great. Well, listen, since we last talked, Tom, there's one person I would like you to make a note of to go see when you get to Washington, D.C.
Would that be Harry Reid?
Well, Harry definitely needs help, but this is a friendly face to start off with. A guy named James Moran is a 10-term Democratic congressman from Virginia, and Jim was on our show on Friday last week, and he's got the cojones already. And he's, you know, he's as disappointed and frustrated as I am about the Democrats and the cave-ins on Iraq funding, on the NSA bills and other issues. And I told him that you were on your way. And he said that he would be happy to receive you, and perhaps he might give you a few pointers on who needs the balls that you're bringing.
I will definitely get in touch with him, Peter D. It's incredible. I've been catching as much news as I can, and the cadence are just appalling. I can't believe that they've happened as much as they have in the last week.
Yeah, I understand. Now, any reaction or interaction with people that you want to report so far on your journey?
Oh, you betcha. This, you know, I thought a lot of it would be people's reaction to the ride and my lack of insanity, or lack of sanity, as it were. But I'm getting a reception that you wouldn't believe. People are incredibly frustrated. And there's such a sense of hopelessness around the country. The first thing I do is I say I'm writing to Washington to bring cojones to Congress. And they say, say what? And I said, what you can do for me is to call your congressperson. And they all throw up their hands and say, why bother?
Yeah.
Or one gentleman looked down at the sidewalk and said, it's like pounding your head against concrete. And the disconnect is just so abysmal right now that it's on both sides of the aisle, too. I had a gentleman who was obviously a little bit to the right of center, and his comment on the forum is, think about us out here. I've had people say, what about the jobs? Another person, please respect the rights of all humans. Prisoners need to be protected. Love your enemy or you will be just like him.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing that I try to let people know, and I'm getting a response, and that's what's so wonderful, there is hope for me out there, is that calling Congress is kind of like breaking a big slab of concrete. The first few times you hit it with a sledgehammer, you barely get any dents.
Yeah.
But you keep hitting it, and all of a sudden the dents get bigger, then you get cracks, and then everything crumbles. And, you know, we don't have a sledgehammer, but we need a really loud voice from the people in order to crack the wall of the corporate indifference that's out there now.
Very good. Well, I want to direct people to your website, CourageToCongress.com. That's CourageToCongress.com. You can follow Tom's progress there. You can send him an email of encouragement. And if you happen to be listening along his route, he's heading south, and then he'll be heading east. Are you going to go through Palm Springs or further south than that?
No, I'm going to hit 29 Palms and then across to Parker, Arizona, and then down into Phoenix.
Okay. So we still have some online listeners in Phoenix. Keeping an eye out for Tom Unsicker. We'll get you a progress report every day that he can check in with us this week. We'll be off next week, but then we'll be catching up with you again, Tom, starting on January 2nd when we resume our live broadcasting. So thank you for checking in from Santa Maria today, and I'm glad you're dry and warm, and I hope the weather will get a little bit more cooperative with you.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Okay, Tom.
Thanks for doing what you're doing, too.
You bet. Hope to talk to you tomorrow. And no guilt if you can't check in. We won't worry about it, but we want to hear from you as often as we can.
I'll give it a try.
Okay, good. All right. Now to Warren in Sacramento. Thanks for holding on, Warren. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. How about that?
Oh, hey, thank you to that brave fellow with the bicycle. That's an act of genius. That's
isn't it?
Oh, it literally hits a trip. That's 2,500, 3,000 miles from...
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
In the winter, too. You know, I mean, I have friends who have ridden their bicycles across the U.S., but they did it in better weather conditions. So it just shows his determination, and I really respect him.
I heard something. I know he's getting kudos for something probably immensely more significant in the immediate sense, but I heard Chris Dodd talk to the World Affairs Council in San Francisco last night on the radio, and it was just... He made the most stunning statement, but he slipped it in so fluidly, you know, because he's such an intellectual guy, and he said that he'd been given a copy of the Constitution by Harry Byrd when he first went to the Senate 24, 26 years ago, whatever it was. And he said, you know, he said, I've read that thing thoroughly again and again and again over the years. And he said, I don't find any place in the Constitution that grants the president a signing authority. Now, you sensitized me to it. You know, you made me deeply aware that whatever this guy does, whatever George Bush does, he gets whatever Congress does.
Mm-hmm.
George Bush gets to countermand with a signing statement if he doesn't like it. And I started going through the computer. He's got more than 150 of them.
Oh, no, no, I'm sorry. They're more than that.
Grossly changing the whole direction of government.
Oh, Warren,
correct,
Warren.
Correct my number. Go ahead, please.
It's over 700.
You know, and I read a real conservative academic study.
Okay.
That's where I got that number.
There's a book out, and maybe at the next break I can go over to my Bush-bashing bookshelf and find it. It's written by Charlie Savage. And he's no relation to Michael. I'm happy to report that. Charlie Savage is an award-winning reporter for the Boston Globe. And if you do a search engine with his name and say signing statements, you'll come up with the book title. It's fascinating. He's the one who really broke the story in the biggest way. And this is a dictatorial power that he has arrogated to himself, based on the ravings of the attorney in Dick Cheney's office.
David Addington.
Thank you, David Addington. I was fumbling for his name. And when you see the dimensions of this, it will shock you even further, Warren.
No, I agree with you. I'm terrified. The thing that was astonishing to me last night was that Dodd answered the question in a way. He said, you know, this came in as a component of an entirely unrelated question. And it was so simple and it was so straightforward. And I'm hoping that it's something that every one of the Democratic candidates will say in one form or another. You know, and maybe they won't. You know, I do wish he was higher in the polls. You know, he's contributing so much. It's astonishing to me. So,
yeah.
In any event, oh, I've got a question for you.
Sure.
A little one.
Okay.
Jeb Bartlett from West Wing, the president of West Wing. Is Jeb Bartlett Chris Dodd?
I don't know. I've watched The West Wing only like two or three times.
Did
since
you really?
It's been on. So I'm not a big fan.
No, it was just a point of trivia.
Yeah, I mostly watch news on TV and not too much else.
Thank you for a great show.
Okay, great to hear from you.
You did a great job. Thanks.
I appreciate that. Henry in L.A., welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing okay, except for the disgust. Peter, at the top of the show, I heard the report of the vote 3-2 for the FCC.
Right.
And
let's
conclusion, why don't we stop the subterfuge and just rename it TASC and Pravda, you know, whichever one was applied for the old Soviet Union.
Well, Henry, let's just first update people. What we're talking about here is an FCC action which removes the ban on newspaper, television, cross-ownership in the same market. And this is being done at the behest of financier Sam Zell, who has bought the Tribune Company in Chicago, which includes WGN Radio and Television and the Tribune newspaper. And he got it for, he put 1% down, and they're giving him his money back when he closes the deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing, using other people's money and huge amounts of debt. So he insisted that, he be permitted to continue to own all of those properties. Now, to be fair, there have been long-term waivers granted to these older combinations. The San Francisco Chronicle was permitted to own Channel 4 in San Francisco for many years. They voluntarily sold it a few years ago, but it wasn't broken up by government action. And there are other instances around the country where newspapers have been permitted to own broadcast facilities, and I don't support the FCC action. But my point is that it's not going to have a huge effect. The McClatchys from Sacramento used to own radio and television stations in markets like Fresno and Modesto, where they also owned newspapers. And in many ways, they were pretty good stewards of those franchises. And I don't know of occasions where the McClatchy family interfered in their broadcast operations or, dictated what should be covered or what shouldn't. So it's a mixed bag. And to me, the past rulings under the Michael Powell administration that were overturned by the courts that would have permitted the television companies to own even more television stations,
mm-hmm.
that was a much more critical issue to me than this newspaper cross-ownership. I'm not trying to trivialize it, just trying to put it in context.
Right, I'm sure that Rupert Murdoch is jumping for joy on this, too. But, we have less and less local coverage. We don't hear anything, in our local coverage here in Los Angeles. The local news is just so sparse in context of hearing about the latest, female who's disappeared in Aruba and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just it's really getting crazy, and the country's going to we're in a handbasket.
Well, on local coverage, you make a very important point, because since the Tribune Company bought the Los Angeles Times, they have decimated the newsroom with one round of cuts of reporters after another, and the LA Times used to be a pretty good newspaper.
Yes.
under the ownership of the Chandler family. And it has descended into pretty much of a tabloid that's in the broadsheet format.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. All right, Henry. Well, thanks for checking in today. I do appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
Always good
to
hear from
you.
Next up, we've got Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Welcome, Joe.
Yeah. Well, maybe you haven't seen the special on CNN, then, since you don't watch too much TV. They've been running over and over this special about the religious zealotry, about these religious nuts. You know, in the Middle East and the religious nuts we got over here.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentalism, basically, and there's this, I don't know, you ever heard of this guy, John Hagee, down in San Antonio?
Yes, I have.
And I believe his religious philosophy is supposed to be referred to as something called Christian Zionism. And basically, he believes in all this nonsense about the Armageddon and then the second coming of Christ and all this nonsense. And who else did spoke before his group, before his church? None other than Joe Lieberman.
Mm-hmm.
And John McCain. Yeah, here less than 10 minutes ago, I'm watching the NBC Nightly News, and whoop-de-doo, over and over and over again, the media keeps on telling us about John McCain's endorsements, how impressive this is all supposed to be.
Yeah, he's going to leap from fifth place right up to third. Isn't that going to be swell? I mean, somebody's got to break it to Lieberman and McCain that they're history. I never bought the McCain straight talk Kool-Aid. He's an out-and-out conservative and an opportunist who has, branded himself as a maverick at times. But even the Republicans are on to him. And, he's polling at under 10% in most of the critical battleground states.
Well, yeah, you'll notice when he figured there was no other way to win the Republican nomination, he put his nose as far up Jerry Falwell's butt as he possibly could. So, any semblance of independence that he once had, that was all over and done with a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll notice, I think something important happened on TV yesterday. Ralph Nader basically endorsed John Edwards for president. He basically said he wasn't a fan of Obama and Hillary. I don't hear the media talking about that. Obviously, the media don't like Ralph Nader. They don't like John Edwards either. They don't like John Edwards either because he's too populist. Because John Edwards sounds too populist these days, he's too shrill. His tone is too negative.
Mm-hmm.
They just cut him down. They're cutting him down right now. They're setting him up for a fall. I hear some of these people in the media, they're talking about John Edwards being the favorite to win the Iowa caucus. So, of course, if he loses, then they can automatically count him out of the race at that point.
All right, Joe, I got to run to a break. Thanks for your call today. Appreciate it. More coming up in a moment. You can grab a line toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Want more energy and protection from disease? U.S. Wellness Meats have an ideal omega-3 to 6 ratio, are 2 to 4 times more plentiful in vitamins A and E than grain-fed beef, have one-third fewer calories, and can slow or even halt diabetes. We have been featured for our exceptional taste in Food & Wine magazine and in the New York Times. We are meat that matters to your health, enjoyment, and to our ecology. U.S. Wellness Meats, 1-877-383-0051 or online at www.uswellnessmeats.com. That's 1-877-383-0051.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Okay, folks, time to take a look at traffic. And we do have a problem in, let's go tell you about Sand City. Southbound Highway 1 at Fremont Boulevard, there's a two-vehicle crash. Everything's off the shoulder. CHP is on scene. Then we'd also like to take a look at another problem. This one reportedly in Watsonville. Northbound Highway 1 at Harkins Slough. It's a disabled vehicle on the off-ramp. In fact, the off-ramp is blocked at this point. Also want to take a look at... Dave Valley, Hames Avenue at Enos, an accident there. It's a solo spin-out. The vehicle's actually stuck in the mud, and CHP is on, actually en route to the scene there. Southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, pockets of slow-and-go traffic. This support brought to you by Panasonic. Bring back family time. Come see Panasonic's latest high-definition product for the world's largest plasma TV screens, available at Plasma.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, rolling down the highway.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way.
Earlier this hour, I mentioned that we were expecting Dr. Elmo to be in the house tomorrow. We think he will be on the show. There's been a bit of a scheduling snag, so tune in from the very beginning so you don't miss a thing. And hopefully it's all going to work out fine. Bill in Sacramento, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, how you doing, Peter?
Pretty good, sir.
Hey, great show. You guys have been really bringing out a lot of stuff that's kind of lurking in the background.
Well, thank you.
Last time I talked to you, I mentioned you had your military advisor there, and I mentioned to you, reminded you that that originally this plan that Project for New American Century is putting forth was based on this world domination project, which is this, and it came out in a book too about that.
Mm-hmm.
The same guy that called you earlier was telling you about the author for that
the Federal Reserve.
Yeah,
book.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But he was the one that first came out with about the 9/11 fiasco.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff seems to be falling into a pattern, and I'm very concerned about a couple of things. And then I want to ask you a question about a couple of bills that you were mentioning earlier.
Okay.
The thing that I'm very concerned about is this black commission that I understand. These are unknown people that we don't know who assigns them. And supposedly they've now justified the closing of a few other key bases, including Fort Monmouth, New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
including... several other bases that do lots of military work here in California, and that at the same time, I heard a report that said that FEMA has released information saying that their civilian concentration camps are up and ready to go.
Oh, really?
Marin Naval Shipyard. Supposedly somebody saw that on their website.
Uh-huh.
Marin Naval Shipyard of California, Maryland. And not to mention the jobs that get lost when those things close.
Now wait. Tell me this naval shipyard.
The thing that it sounded like Marin Naval Shipyard.
Uh huh.
And then the state of Maryland.
Well, Okay.
But they awarded contracts to Senator Lotz based on the bill's ships and subs in Mississippi.
Okay.
And that happened back right after Katrina, but I guess it's been confirmed, and now Lotz quitting, so I don't know.
Okay, well, if there's a way you could email me some of this, I'd love to investigate
a
little further.
I'll try to come back to follow up like tomorrow.
Okay.
But anyway, and Desert Palms is a base that used to be Moffett Field, and they converted it to Whidbey Island up above Seattle,
mm-hmm.
and they moved the rest of the planes, the Chase subs and all that, down to Palms, 21 mm-hmm. Palms or something like that?
29 Palms.
Yeah, uh-huh. And I understand they're being converted over to be a camp, too. Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to ask you about the nuclear subsidy bill. This guy, Domenici, who's retiring in New Mexico,
right.
has been shuffling that bill around, had about $40 billion in it,
mm-hmm.
and supposedly they had knocked it out of a couple of bills, and he tried to put it in another bill, and then they found it, and they kicked it out. But this last bill, as far as I know, it's still in there.
I believe it's $25 billion in insurance and loan guarantees to nuclear power plant operators.
Right, but that's got to be just a giveaway, because it would take 10 years to build another plant, plus we're not even sure we should be doing that.
Well, I agree with you.
and terrorists would love to have a place to attack it once they get some plutonium there. So the Patriot Act thing, I understand that there's some clauses in there that prevent even public officials from releasing information or telling about crimes that the government might commit against citizens, preventing them from, telling them that their records are being searched or that their houses are being broken into or they're being listened to.
Well, you're right. In the Patriot Act, for example, they've amended the librarian clause, but the fundamental issue is that a national security letter could be issued to access your library records or your bank records, and the entity receiving it would have to cough up the information. And if they told you that they had done so, then they would be subject to prosecution themselves.
And I understand that there was in the last one that got amended, that it also included things that would prevent people like Rockefeller or Pelosi or Harmon, even though Harmon sounds like she's on the other side, she's out there authoring bills that keep people from protesting against the whatever administration is in power and things like that. So that's really scary when you take all that together with, like I said, the base closings, and we're already supposed to be short of personnel. So who's going to man these bases, like the 14 bases just put over in Iraq? Is that going to be paid for with our money to put Blackwater or other groups like that in control of those?
Bill, I got about 20 seconds if you have one more question.
And who's going to have access to the nuclear black box that the president has, if he gets knocked out?
Right.
Okay.
All right. Bill, thank you, and please do send along the information. I'm curious, particularly about the bases and the camps.
Okay.
I'd like to see more on that. Thank you. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Check for the podcast at peterbcollins.com. Drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
We meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about
the superfood for you and your family? Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp. Used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp. This God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The promise of the energy bill passed today is efficiency that translates into big savings.
With one stroke of the pen, we set America to a path to produce $22 billion in annual savings to our consumers.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi in the House, where the measure won final congressional approval. President Bush will sign it tomorrow. CBS News correspondent John Harchi takes a look.
Under this bill, the new vehicles we drive will become increasingly more fuel efficient over the next decade or so. 40% better average fuel economy will be required by 2020. We'll likely see more flex fuel vehicles that use a high percentage of ethanol and more hybrids, also more diesels. In addition to vehicles, the bill sets standards for things we use in the home, like light bulbs. Say goodbye to the old incandescent bulb.
It'll be replaced by the LED, light-emitting diode, which uses 90% less electricity. After 2.5 years, Aruban authorities have given up on trying to prosecute the three young men suspected in Natalie Holloway's disappearance. CBS News correspondent Manuel Gallegos has been following this story.
Holloway's mother, Beth Twitty, said she was, quote, terribly disappointed and perplexed that the case was closed on the day a new deep water search was set to begin. In a statement, prosecutors and police insisted they'd gone the extra mile, exhausting all their powers to solve the mystery. They say they still believe the men are involved in Holloway's disappearance, but they cannot prove they committed a crime because Holloway's body was never recovered. But if new substantial evidence turns up, prosecutors say they can still reopen the case. Manuel Gallegos, CBS News.
A deal on war funding may be in the works. The Senate just added $70 billion for military operations in Iraq and Afghanistan to a spending bill. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice visiting Baghdad said the United States, Iraq, and Turkey share a common interest in stopping Kurdish rebels in northern Iraq. But after Turkish airstrikes today, White House spokeswoman Dana Perino issued a word of caution.
We've asked Turkey to be very limited in its activities, and we certainly have cautioned, and Secretary Rice said today, very concerned about any loss of innocent life.
In less than 2 weeks, the U.S. military will have fewer nuclear devices than it does now. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
How many nuclear weapons are there in the American arsenal? It's classified. The government won't say. However, the White House just announced that by the end of this year,